Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark, gothic Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, Philadelphia? Joe Torti here with you. 97.5, the Fanatic. Well, we've had time to sleep on it. We've had time to think about it. And we've got some time to talk about it now. Phone number to climb in, 610-632-0975. I have heard it all day. How in the world could the defense surrender a 17-point lead? How do you give up 21 unanswered points in the fourth quarter? And I have a simple question for you, for everybody who is pointing to the defense as the main reason why the Eagles lost. If you're calling for Jim Schwartz's job, if you're saying that that is the biggest key to the Philadelphia Eagles collapse, I have a pretty simple set of questions for you. Is NFL football all of a sudden make it, take it? Is it like basketball when you're playing in the gym where, you know, you score and then you just get the ball back until the other team stops you? It's not, right? Football's not make it, take it? Okay. So then Carolina must have gotten, you know, a couple of onside kicks back to back to just get the ball back immediately so that they could just line up and go against the defense over and over and over again, right? Okay, oh, that didn't happen either. Carolina recovered no onside kicks? Oh. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then, to put all of the blame, or even most of the blame, on the Eagles' defense is borderline irresponsible. And in particular, Jim Schwartz. Let's talk about it, right? First things first. People are like, oh, Jim Schwartz needs to blitz. He doesn't blitz. Jim Schwartz doesn't blitz, period. In relation to a lot of other defensive coordinators. Not like 0% of the time, but he very rarely blitzes, period. That's been who he was. That's who he was before the Eagles won the Super Bowl. That's who he was when the Eagles won the Super Bowl. And that's who he is now. He does not do it, okay? If you had no problem with the way that the Eagles defense played last year while they were busy not blitzing, you can't have a problem with the way that the Eagles defense is playing now with them not blitzing. And by the way, Doug Peterson, for his part, said that he thought that they were getting pressure on Cam Newton and that that wasn't a huge part of the problem. I would argue that the players were a big part of the problem. I would argue that the defense did a terrible job in terms of running out of gas, especially at the defensive line position late in that game. But to blame Jim Schwartz and call for his job, I've got some questions. No. For me, now that I've had time to think about this and I've had time to reflect, it is so apparent and it's so clear that the offense deserves the lion's share of the blame. Offensive play callers, offensive players, everything. Carson Wentz is included in that. I'm not the Mr. This is Carson Wentz's fault. I'm not saying that. Carson Wentz owns his share of the pie, okay? But to blame the defense in a world, in a city. Don't forget, why in the world did we hate Chip Kelly's offense so much here in Philadelphia? It was because the defense gets back out on the field too quickly if the offense isn't going anywhere. And the way that the offense played in the fourth quarter, the Eagles team surrendered 21 straight points. It's not like the Carolina Panthers scored and then they got the ball back, lined up the defense again, scored, and then immediately got the ball back, lined up the defense again, and scored, and beat them like children. Did they do everything perfectly? Absolutely not. Did they play a little bit too conservatively? Certainly they did. But to blame it all on the defense and to blame it all on Jim Schwartz is so irrational when you look at the game. And in 2018, with offenses scoring up across the board, you hold a team to 21 points, you should win that game, period. End of story. On the flip side, if you score 17 points in a 2018 NFL game, that means you lose. You lose if you score 17 points. We're getting caught up in how it happened. We're getting caught up in, oh, they were up 17-0. How can you blow that game? You're absolutely right. How can you blow that game if you're the Eagles? Couple terrible plays. That second drive that Carolina had to score was horrendous. The 4th and 10 was just about indefensible. But is it less indefensible than getting the ball back if you're the Philadelphia Eagles with 4 minutes plus on the clock and giving the ball back to Carolina with their timeouts before the 2-minute warning? It's malpractice. From the execution to the play calling, the fact that they ran the ball one time in the fourth quarter when you're up 17, you tell me you're winning. You tell me what's more insane, that the defense in 2018, by the way, when it's harder to defend than it's ever been, is giving up points when the other team's got a pass and it's easier than it's ever been to pass, period. Or that you are up 3 scores in the fourth quarter and you do not run the ball in order to kill the clock. You tell me what's crazier. It's not even close. 610-632-0975. I want to get your thoughts on this. If you want to blame the defense, they get a chunk. But if you think that they even get half, or certainly more than half, I think you're crazy. I think you're absolutely nuts if you think the defense is more responsible than the offense for blowing this lead. We're going to get to your phone calls next. We're going to bang them right out. We got a short show taking you up until Flyers hockey at the top of the hour. We're going to get into it next. It's the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Giroux scores!
Flyers Avalanche. Tonight at 7 on your home for Flyers hockey. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Addiction is a disease, not a lapse in judgment. Patients struggling with the disease of addiction are entitled to world-class care, provided with dignity and respect. Recover Centers of America Devon provides the highest quality inpatient and outpatient treatment for addiction and co-occurring mental health disorders. And it's available right here in the Philadelphia area. Their phone number is 1-800-RECOVERY. They believe that your family should be able to visit and participate in the treatment. So they built a facility in our neighborhood in Pennsylvania. And they are here to help you and your family. And they stand ready to help you with your addiction challenges. Their phone number, it's 1-800-RECOVERY. They offer specialized treatment programs for young adults, adults, and first responders, including law enforcement and military veterans. And they are in network with Blue Cross Blue Shield and other major insurance providers. Call Recovery Centers of America today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio.
These days, it's hard to get anyone to look up from their phone. From texting to posting to playing games, it's become our national obsession. Me? I still can't get enough of those angry birds. But when it comes to buying an engagement ring, that smartphone of yours is more like a dumb phone. Because a device is no substitute for advice. And nobody gives better engagement ring advice than Benari Jewelers. We're diamond experts, real live human beings who are trained to listen first, ask questions, and guide you to the perfect ring. There's no app for that, my friends. Benari Jewelers' quality is unsurpassed, with an amazing selection in every price range. And unlike the internet, we let you see and touch the rings before you buy them. So use that smartphone of yours to map directions to Benari Jewelers in Exton and Newtown Square. Or if you're not quite ready to talk, visit BenariJewelers.com.
Attention, landlords and property owners. Are you tired of managing your property and would like someone else to manage it for you? You probably would like to own your property, but are tired of the headaches that come with it. You just can't keep up with the maintenance and leasing. Bay Management Group is a local, full-service property management company handling single-family and multifamily properties in the Philadelphia area. They're on-call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They offer full leasing services, including tenant screening with a 1-year tenant warranty, move-in and move-out reports, maintenance, rent collection, eviction services, routine inspections, plus monthly and annual financial statements. You could move to Antarctica with confidence that your property is in great hands. Call Bay Management Group today to learn more or visit baymanagementgroup.com. That's baymgmtgroup.com. Bay Management Group, your premier management company.
Ram Power Days are here this fall. But the weather and leaves aren't all that are changing right now. More people are switching to Ram trucks than ever before. Like the all-new Ram 1500 with its available legendary Hemi engine. And Ram 3500 with best-in-class 30,000-pound fifth-wheel towing. With features like these, it's no wonder Ram trucks keep muscling their way past the competition. During Ram Power Days, well-qualified returning FCA lessees get a low-mileage lease on the 2019 Ram 1500 Classic Express Quad Cab 4x4 with a V6 engine for $189 a month for 36 months with $3,499 due at signing. Tax, title, license, extra. since 2010. Based on IHS Market U.S. household methodology and FCA segmentation of conquest data from U.S. new vehicle registrations for CYE 2010 to 2016 when properly equipped. Class based on 350-3500 pickups. Call 1-877-RAM-5722 for details. Requires dealer contribution at least through U.S. Bank. Current lease must end by 11-419. 25-cent charge for each mile over 30,000. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 10-31-18.
Join Sal Palantonio for the Sal Pal Football Hour live as he returns to Poppy's Italian Restaurant Tuesday, October 23rd from 6 to 7 p.m. Presented by Gabbiano Dark Knight and lyric by Etude Wine. Get there early to enjoy Poppy's happy hour from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Seating for the Sal Pal Football Hour is limited, so make your reservations today at poppiesrestaurant.com. The Sal Palantonio Football Hour live from Poppy's Italian Restaurant tomorrow night, 3120 South 20th Street in Philadelphia.
Hey guys, Andrea Helfrich with the Flyers here, and I'm about to give you the scoop on a new ticket package you're going to love.
It's called the Flyers Adidas Pack, and not only does it include a ticket to your choice of three different Flyers games, but you also get a custom Adidas long sleeve tee, plus the Adidas duffel bag that the players use. The best part, the Adidas Pack starts at just $55. You gotta hurry though, it's only available for three games in October and November. So go grab yours right now at PhiladelphiaFlyers.com.
Find out where the Dietz & Watson Mobile Broadcast Center will be broadcasting from next. Just visit 975thefanatic.com. Dietz & Watson, the official meats and cheeses of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Let's go!
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Listen. 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic, taking you up until Flyers hockey. Phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975, abbreviated show, so it is time to get right to the phones straight away. Sam Flesher's producing the show this evening. Let's go to Jabbo next. Jabbo, you're on The Fanatic.
General, I am so with you on what you said earlier. Everybody's blaming the defense.
Doesn't make sense.
It really doesn't, because, I mean, I know we had a 17-point lead, but score 22 points, you win the game. Score 23, you win the game. When we got the ball back down by four points, I had no confidence whatsoever that Carson Wentz was going to lead us to the victory. I just don't think he's a clutch quarterback. I know he's having, you know, with the quarterback rating. Quarterback rating doesn't mean anything to me. I don't care what he does in the first, second, third quarter.
Okay.
Win the game.
All right, I mean, yeah, you're right. The whole team, by the way, had that same thing, because I thought the whole team played pretty well first, second, and third quarter. So if you do want to blame the defense for a quarter in the fourth quarter, I get it, but the offense is just as likely to be blamed, I think.
The pass he overthrew was terrible.
Horrible.
Should have been an interception. I mean, it hit the ground, but the guy should have made the catch. And for him to get sacked and fumble the football in that situation, don't hang on to it that long, okay? Get out of the pocket. Get away from them. You know, I mean, Tom Brady would have taken them right down the field. I mean, I'm not a Patriots fan. I'm a 37-year season ticket holder for the Eagles. Brett Favre would have taken them right down the field. I mean, everybody that worships at this Carson Wentz, you know, he's the franchise. He's going to be this. He's going to be that. Well, no, he's not.
Jabbo, listen to me. Thanks for the phone call, man. I'm not going to say that yet, because here's the thing. Clutch or not clutch, Peyton Manning wasn't clutch for the first 10 years of his career, and he was without a doubt a franchise quarterback. Okay, I'm not going to come up here and be like, I guarantee you beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question that Carson Wentz is going to develop into one of the great clutch quarterbacks of all time. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that he didn't perform in the fourth quarter. He's still your best option. Absolutely, 100%, no question about it. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Steve in Delaware. Hey, Steve.
Hey, what's going on, Joe? How you doing tonight?
Doing great, thanks.
All right. So, I don't know where to start. I mean, I'm really disappointed in how everything's been progressing. And it's after that loss, it was just a disappointing, aggravating loss, because there's been no consistency on both sides of the ball. There's plenty of blame to go around. Everyone gets their lion's share between the defense and the offense. But it's just frustrating, because it's like, when I look at this team, I can't see them going to the playoffs this year at all. I mean, I see a 7-9 team, maybe an 8-8. And it's frustrating, because they're better than this, but they have not been playing to the capabilities. The plays have just been crap. No one, everybody's injured. It's just one thing after another, and just disappointing when you can't close games.
Well, and the crazy thing, Steve, is that, like, before the season, I think that we can finally put this thing to bed of, like, going down the schedule and be like, that's a win, that's a loss, that's what, because I would say that you could just about mirror flip it based on the way that we thought the things were going to go before the season started.
And I mean, that's true. I mean, I did not expect them to have to play this poorly this season. I mean, I was like this. I knew, I didn't get too excited about them repeating, but I was just like, I thought, with what they did on, as far as the roster additions, that they would make some improvements, some steps forward. But Right. Obviously it just looks like it's just imploding on itself. And then you have the frustration from Doug. It's just like, hey man, you have to write this ship and tell them that there's no pressure on them. I don't know where you're coming from. I don't know what's the message in the locker room. And it's just disappointing.
Steve, it's a good word to use. Thanks for the phone call. Here's what I'll say about it. I haven't liked a thing that Doug Peterson has said in the last 48 hours. The back and forth with the reporters was ridiculous, talking about unless you're there looking at the film and things like that. Look, there's this thing, it's a logical fallacy, it's a debating tactic called an argument from authority, which pretty much means that unless you're a lawyer or unless you're a doctor, you have no business talking about legal or medical matters. It's ridiculous. It would be like you asking your doctor a question about your personal treatment and him being like, well, I don't think that you're qualified to be in this conversation because you're not a doctor or an insurance provider. Like, the logic that of the reporters, for example, who are wrong often as well, by the way. I'm not going to say the reporters or the media are always perfect. I'm not saying that. But when the reporters are like, hey, it seems logically like you should run the ball more. The numbers show that when you run the ball more, your team succeeds. Does any of that go in? Why weren't you running the ball? For him to say, oh yeah, well, why don't you come down on the sidelines and try to do my job before you say that? Doug, don't say that because someone will. Someone, if you're allowed, if that's an open invitation for somebody, somebody will be like, all right, let's have this happen. Otherwise, you look like a bully. And I don't think that Doug Peterson's ever looked like that. It's a bad look for Doug. He's never bullied the media. I was reading it on my phone. I almost dropped it. I said, are you serious? That's what Doug Peterson said to the reporters? Look, I know that you're mad, okay? I know that you're frustrated. I know that it's a bad loss. But come on now. And then to say that all the pressure's off the players... All the pressure's off the players. What happened to, this is our new norm. If this happened in New England, cars would be getting flipped. Because that's what the actual norm looks like. Is that real now? Or is that just bravado where you're feeling great on a Super Bowl parade and you're just popping off at the mouth saying whatever you want to say? I like Doug. I think that Doug's a good head coach. Nothing that he said in the last 48 hours, and I know coaches aren't normally great after losses, but it has been bad look after bad look for Doug Peterson. Let's go to Matt in Bucks County next. Matt, you're on the Fanatic. Matt. Matt's not ready. Let's go to Drew in Westchester. Hey, Drew.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good.
Good.
I think we're going to go to Jacksonville. Well, we're not going to go to Jacksonville. We're going to go to London. We're going to play Jacksonville. And we're going to take this thing. We're going to make it 4-4. The pressure's off now, thanks to Dougie P saying it. So I think everything's going to be good. So on that note, can we switch it over and talk about the only team in Philadelphia with a winning record right now?
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're already turning the page on the Eagles. You're already done with the conversation. That's so sad. That's so sad,
no,
man.
I'm not turning the page yet. I just wanted to just think that, you know, we've beaten this Eagles to death all day, so I just wanted to throw
it
over.
Drew, thanks for the phone call. It's the day after the game. Of course we're going to talk about the Eagles, man. Got to do it. Phone lines have been juiced all day about the Eagles. People want to talk about them, and it's embarrassing what's happened. There'll be plenty of time to talk about the Sixers and the Flyers and the Union and everybody else that you want to talk about. But, man, oh, man. Of course we're going to talk about the Eagles today. It's Monday. Let's go to Matt in Bucks County. Hey, Matt.
Hey, sir. How's it going?
Going great. Thanks.
Awesome. I am befuddled by yesterday's game. I don't even know how to feel about it. But what I started doing a couple weeks ago was I saw that Roddy McLeod was down and... he was a big part of our defense.
Absolutely.
And I don't think people realize how big. Because do you remember the Welcome to Philly video It was on YouTube that he did for Rodney McLeod when he first got here.
Mm-hmm.
He was firing at people like a rocket launcher, sir. You know?
Yeah, absolutely he was.
And now that he's gone, people aren't scared of us in the middle of the field. They're not scared to catch that ball. Do you know how many drop balls I watched last year? And I'm not saying it was just Rodney.
Right.
But there was a different mentality. It was...
I agree.
And, you know,
intimidating.
Exactly. Big hits, even if we missed and they got the touchdown from it, they still know they were a second away from death, you know?
Well, yeah, they had to think about it. Absolutely. I get it. 100%. So you think that's the biggest difference is the personnel?
I think that is a huge difference. I'm also advocating that we do more 12, 13 personnel because our most talented players right now are tight ends.
Yeah, that's crazy. I'm not saying you're wrong. Matt, thanks for the phone call. Not saying that you're wrong. But that's insane. That's insane that your most talented offensive weapons are tight ends. And like not like Travis Kelce, where it's like he's probably either the best or their second best receiving option, and then there's a host of other guys. It's like, no. Like Dallas Goedert is comparable to Nelson Agholor or Jordan Matthews or whoever the quote unquote starting wide receiver is. That's insane. No team's won that way that I can think of in recent memory with two tight ends. Right? With two tight ends who are arguably your top two receiving threats. Like, even when you had Gronkowski and Hernandez in New England, there were still wide receivers that are, like, in the conversation there, right? I don't know. It's crazy. The offense needs to do... That is the crux of this whole thing, is that the offense needs to do more. And needed to do more yesterday. You know, you look at all of the stats, you look at the game flow, you look at the way the things play out... I would say that the Eagles' defense did not surrender 21 unanswered points yesterday. The Eagles as a team surrendered 21 unanswered points. The fact is that if you can't kill enough clock, that you're going to continue to give the ball back to the Carolina Panthers, and they're just going to be able to march down the field, that's a systemic failure. Short drives time-wise surrendered by the defense, that's bad. There shouldn't be enough time for the Panthers to do what they did. There shouldn't be enough time when they get the ball back. The Eagles have to take some time off the clock. What did they get? Two first downs in the fourth quarter? Is that what they got? I think they had a first down on the second drive. And then obviously with the long play with Alshon Jeffrey that got the penalty. Did they have more than two first downs in the fourth quarter? That is Chip Kelly-esque, hustling up to get a third down, then not having it work and punting the football. That's how you lose. Cody in Quakertown's up next on the Fanatic. What's happening, Cody? Cody.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
So I just want to take you back to the second quarter.
Okay.
We go back to the second quarter, 2 minutes and 10 seconds left on the clock, three timeouts. Only up 10 at that point. My question is, why did we not go for anything? They were, back in their own side, but, I mean, going soft at the end of the second quarter there, right?
A little bit. I mean, game flow, Cody Wright would say, all right, you don't want to give them, you're already up 10 points, you don't want to give them a momentum play if you think that the game's going your way, and then all of a sudden the momentum swings the other way. Right, like, could you get on board with that, or does that not sell you?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. You know, you don't want to give them a momentum play, but you're already up 10.
Right.
You have four timeouts. You got the two-minute warning plus your own three timeouts, and you have one of the best quarterbacks out there in the game, and you're going to go and do nothing with it and just waste the whole time at the end of the half when you're already up 10.
Sure.
You can really put them away, and Carolina was getting the ball at the start of the third quarter.
Yep. Yeah, it's a fair question to ask. You're absolutely right, Cody. Thanks for the phone call, man. And that's actually, it lends itself to the point that, like, you have to look at the entire game, right? The game played out the way that it was. This is going to sound ridiculous, but it's true. The game played out the way that the numbers would say that the game played out. The entirety of the game matters. That's why I always get hung up when people are like, oh, these are easy, early losses, there's plenty of time in the season. The games at the beginning of the season count just as much as the ones at the end. If you looked and you said, the defense only allowed 21 points. I'd say you've got a chance. You have got a great chance to win that game in 2018 with how easy it is to score, with the rules that protect the offense. If you limit a team to 21 points, and then you look to the other side and you scored 17 points offensively, you're not going to win any games that way. That's just the way it is. 610-632-0975. My argument today is that I do not blame the defense nearly as much as I blame the offense in terms of play calling, in terms of execution, in terms of everything, okay? In the fourth quarter, here were the Eagles' drives. They had six plays. They went 22 yards, so that's one first down. They punted. Their second drive, three and out, took 1 minute and 51 seconds off the clock. Okay? That is brutal. And then, of course, you've got the touchdown that ends up happening for the Panthers. Four plays, one of them was that pass interference, and then those three disaster plays, or two out of three disaster plays to end the game. But it's the defense's fault? Jim Schwartz is the one who deserves to be fired after this? Jim Schwartz is who he is, man. He's always done the same stuff. We can't be mad at that now. 610-632-0975 is your phone number. Defense is doing similar stuff as they did during the Super Bowl, numbers-wise. Where's the offense? It's the Joe Torty Show on The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. Football Monday on The Fanatic is brought to you by Recovery Centers of America. Call today at 1-800-RECOVERY or visit 1-800-RECOVERY.com/radio.
It's not just any Wi-Fi. It's streaming in every room in your house, even in the backyard Wi-Fi.
Mom, we're going to watch movies in the treehouse.
That's fine, honey.
It's Wi-Fi that lets your family stream live TV and the most free movies and shows on any device they want.
Dad, can I watch cartoons on the tablet?
How about we use it to finish your homework instead?
Oh, man.
And it's Wi-Fi that can help you save on wireless when you include Xfinity Mobile with your internet.
Can we have some of that savings?
Nope, but your college fund can.
It's the best Wi-Fi experience from Xfinity that makes streaming and saving simple, easy, awesome.
Get started with Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for $79.99 a month for 2 full years with a 2-year agreement. Plus, ask how you can save when you include Xfinity Mobile with your internet. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Offer ends 10/28/18. Restrictions apply. Limited to the standard triple play for new customers. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After agreement term, regular rates apply.
Hey, it's Philadelphia Eagles safety number 23, Roddy McLeod. And I need your help with something that affects all of us, cancer. It's time that we stop losing people we love to this serious disease. I'm teaming up with 97.5, The Fanatic, to raise money for cancer research. I'm asking Birds fans to make a donation to the American Association for Cancer Research in any amount today to help me raise $23,000. With your donation comes automatic entry into a drawing to win the ultimate Birds fan experience, including 2 tickets to the Monday night game against Washington on December 3rd, field passes, and a VIP tour of the ESPN film truck. So go to 975thefanatic.com/donate and make a donation today to support cancer research. I look forward to seeing you on December 3rd, and thank you for your support.
So join community philanthropist and American Association of Cancer Research Ambassador McLeod on his race to $23,000 for cancer research. Official contest rules are located at aacrfoundation.org. Participants must be 18 or older. Donations are greatly appreciated, although not required to enter the contest.
Relax in comfort with seats that beat the stadium. Harris Resort and Bally's Atlantic City Wild Wild West are now taking bets at our new sports books. Available bets include pro and college football, basketball, baseball, hockey, and more. Place your wager on your favorites today and score your own winning record at the book. Can't make the trip? No problem. Download the Caesars Casino app through the App Store or CaesarsCasino.com and bet now. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Natalie Eganoff here to tell you about the only name you need to know when shopping for an engagement ring. Family and Company Jewelers, our own Andrew Salchunas, recently got engaged. He took my advice and met with Angelo and the team at Family and Company, and they helped him pick out the perfect ring. Family and Company has been the most trusted jeweler in South Jersey for over 80 years. Go to familyjewelers.com or visit their showroom on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, and see for yourself. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
Hey, this is Jason Martinez from my favorite window company, Window Nation. Temperatures are falling fast, and that is a great reminder that your window pun intended, for getting new windows installed before the holidays and snow hits, is closing. While most window companies are experiencing 12-week lead times, WindowNation can do it in less than half the time and save you half the money. Call today and get two free windows for every two you buy. Buy four, get four free. Buy six, get six free. No limit. There is only one thing better than free windows. That's free financing. And for the next 2 weeks, WindowNation is offering no interest for 5 years. New windows now and no interest for 60 months. Call the window company that over 80,000 homeowners have already trusted and take advantage of this amazing offer now and get two windows free for every two windows you buy and 0% interest for 5 years. Visit WindowNation.com and save this winter and forever on your energy bills. Eliminate the nasty drafts and start enjoying all the benefits of new windows today. That's WindowNation.com or call 1-866-90-NATION today.
We had just gotten home from vacation and Richie had to go downstairs to grab something out of the dryer and he had set foot in about 3 to 4 inches of water.
Well, what happened was the pressure relief valve for the hot water heater had failed and it just leaked water while we were gone.
I had no idea the amount of damage that water could do.
With her being pregnant, the in-laws coming, a little bit of water, it rocked our world. I called USAA, and they greeted me as they always do. Sergeant Baker, how are you? They were on it. They took care of everything, A to Z. It was unbelievable. Having insurance is something everyone needs, but having USAA, that's a privilege. We're the Bakers, and we're USAA members for life.
See how much you could save with USAA by bundling your auto and home insurance. Get a quote today.
Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Product membership eligibility and bundling savings restrictions apply and are subject to change. Members paid for their participation. United Services Automobile Association and its affiliate, San Antonio, Texas.
Tune into The Fanatic for the weekly Players Health Report on the Mike Vesinelli Show, presented by Penn Medicine's Heart and Vascular Center. With locations throughout the region, Penn is where you need it most. Close to home, locations at PennHeart.org.
The Vesinelli Station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. 6 o'clock hours brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Your phone number to join the conversation, 610-632-0975. Somebody on Twitter reached out to me and asked, you know, for an example, like just to clarify what I meant by an argument from authority. Okay, so if you don't know what I'm talking about right now, it's Doug Peterson saying that you don't have the right to question my play calling unless you've been an NFL head coach. So the concept would be I have a lot of sports opinions. I have a lot of opinions that aren't just like straight from the gut. I do research and I have stats and things like that to back them up. And I don't like have an opinion and then I find stuff to back it up. I do whatever the truth is. My opinion is whatever the truth, the facts, the logic lead me to believe. I don't do hot take radio. I don't do stuff to, you know, incite people to get them riled up or angry or whatever. So the concept would be then, if you call up and you don't agree with me and you have substantial points and substantial facts and data that would back up your side of the argument and suggest that I'm wrong, it is weak of me to be like, I'm on the radio and I have a sports talk show, so my argument is better than yours. That doesn't make any sense. If my stats and things like that lead to a more logical conclusion than whatever you're on the other side of, that's a completely different thing. But just by me being like, oh, I'm on the radio, I have a show, so my opinion's worth more than yours, that makes me look so weak. And it's a good indicator that you're right and I'm wrong if I say that. So that's what I mean by an appeal to authority. Oftentimes, now I'm not saying that like a doctor's opinion about things in the medical field doesn't count for anything, because obviously they're studied and oftentimes they'll have stats and facts and things like that that they have gone to school for a million years for that lend themselves to an argument. But in order to just rely on that, you know, to be fair, Doug Peterson, I'm sorry to say this, head coaches get fired all the time for being wrong often about football stuff. Like, so it's not outside the realm of possibility that a head coach could be questioned about something by a fan or a media member or whatever. So I hope that clears that up. James in Old City's up next on The Fanatic. Hey, James.
Hey, what's up, man? How you making out?
How you doing?
Listen to me. I got a feeling about this team. I'm actually not even worried about this team.
Really?
I mean, maybe I'm in the minority. Yeah, I just feel like coming off the Super Bowl, I feel like it was almost... and everyone's trashing Doug Peterson for saying what he said about, like, the pressure's off. I understand it's like that doesn't sound good. But I have a feeling, like, look, last year when Wentz got hurt, that kind of like galvanized the team.
Okay.
You know what I mean? So I kind of feel like doing what they're doing now is almost at some point, I think this is a part, I think everything's kind of lining up where like You beat Jacksonville, you get a bye, you reassess, you refresh. You know, maybe they make a move, maybe they don't. I don't know. But I think that having this bye week, if I think you're going to beat Jacksonville by four touchdowns, I honestly was, I would like, well, Martinez owes me a case of beer. He hasn't paid up on that yet.
Oh, we got to chase after him for that.
Oh, I gave him 15 and a half for the Giants. And he said, oh, I was out of my mind. And I told him, I said, I'm the most cynical Eagles fan there is. But I'm a realist. I feel like when I feel good about him, I feel good about him. I feel like this game on Sunday, it's going to be like, Joe, I'm telling you, I'm going to tell you right now. I think the game's going to be like maybe 45-16, something like that.
I hope it's a rocking chair ride, man. I really thanks for the phone call. I hope that it is. And I hope that you're right about that. But here's the thing. I took a call last week that made 100% complete sense, talking about the Jaguars are reeling and the Panthers just are coming off of an emotional win. So you have the chance going into the New Orleans game of having won four in a row. And it makes sense. I'm like, oh, okay, fine. That all goes out the window when you blow a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter. That all goes completely sideways. So it's hard for me. Like, you know, maybe your feelings are better than mine and your intuition's better than mine about, like, you know, predicting what's going to happen with games. My record in the dreaded pick segment would suggest that, actually, on This Week in Bro Football. However, it's hard for me to just chalk this up because Jacksonville's playing badly that the Eagles are going to boat race this team, because I thought that before and they are below 500. Anthony in East Windsor's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, Joe?
Doing okay.
Take my call.
You got it.
I was trying to look for your name. I don't know how to spell your last name in Twitter, but...
Oh, T-O-R-D-Y.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I called Roy Ehrlich on one of the other shows and said, you know, what is taking so long for Howie to pull a trigger to do something? Seems like everybody else is doing something. And now I just got an update, alert that, whatchamacallit, that Le'Veon Bell did not show up.
He did not. That's true.
I don't know what that means for us or if it can mean something, but, I mean, they have to make some kind of move. I mean, even if we don't win it all this year, they still have to rebuild. I mean,
right.
He seemed like he was better doing that last year than this year. I mean, why wouldn't you want to keep on, you know, keep boosting it up? He would seem like as soon as somebody was hurt or whatever, they were ready to plug somebody else in.
True. You're absolutely right about that. And, Anthony, what I would say is that last year, Howie made trades and things like that to bolster the team for this year, and it cost them something, right? The opportunity to have quality depth drafted and guys that are coming up at offensive line, at linebacker, at defensive back. Like that's just what it costs. That's what it costs to win a Super Bowl. I'm with you, though. They need to be able to do something. I would like to see them draft rather than trade for a superstar, just because I don't think that they're one player away this year. You know what I mean? I think they're a couple players away.
Yeah, they need wide receiver and running back and probably
defensive back. Yeah. So you're on target there, man. Thanks for the phone call. You're right on the money, but that's why I would say that it's not just, you know, trading for Le'Veon Bell. By the way, him not showing up is bad for any kind of trade because he has to sign the franchise tender, Le'Veon Bell does, before any kind of trade can be worked out. Mike and Del Rand's next. Hey, Mike.
Joe.
What's up?
I'm pissed off, man.
You should be.
I am. You know what? I got 3 points. First off, if you're not worried about this team, then the Super Bowl made you soft. You're going to start sounding like a Dallas Cowboy fan if you keep talking about that Super Bowl. It's over. It didn't happen. This is a new season. And this team is too good to be playing this bad. The other thing is, when Carson Wentz got hurt, it galvanized the team. Did not galvanize the team. It galvanized the city. It galvanized the country. If anything, it brought the team together.
Right? Sure.
There's a huge difference there. The third thing is, I have to disagree with you that you blame the offense more so than the defense.
Okay.
And I agree you're not going to win many games in the NFL scoring 17 points. And I agree that you should have been running the ball in the fourth quarter. Don't tell me that you don't have the people to do it when you ran it one time and got 8 yards in a crucial play.
Right.
Right? But my biggest problem is that defense started playing prevent defense with only a 3-score lead with 13 minutes left in the game. Like, what is Jim Schwartz thinking? I mean, I respect that guy. I think he's a great coach. But this season, he looks really flawed. And to think that playing those guys 10 yards deep or whatever it was,
right,
giving up these 8-9 yards. Like, what are you doing? We weren't up by 30. Like, I don't understand. There wasn't 4 minutes left in the game. Every single possession Carolina had, they scored quicker and quicker.
They did.
And Carson Wentz, he's got to win that game if he's going to be an MVP, man. He's got to win that game for us. It's
I'm pissed, man.
Now, Mike, I think you summed up the game, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. Here's what I'll say about the defense, right? I hear you. They scored quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. That's a big problem. Defense getting tired late in the game, also a problem. However, prevent defense with 13 minutes to go, up three scores. I hear the concern. Here's what I'll say, though. The only way that you lose almost in that spot, if you have any kind of competent offense, is if they're scoring in one or two plays, and they didn't do that. Now, time-wise, I'm with you. Carolina was able to march way too quickly, but I can't explain why that happened. Outside of the defense didn't play well, but the offense has to be able to burn some clock, and they didn't. Let's get one more call in. Ben in Princeton's next on the Fanatic. Hey, Ben.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
There's a couple of things that a lot of people don't want to address. Last year could have been just dumb plain luck. All the planets aligned. The wind went down. Foles turned into Tom Brady by some unspeakable. I mean, nobody saw that coming. And if anybody said they did, they're lying. Nobody. We thought the season was over when Wentz went down. The other thing is they're putting too much pressure on Wentz. He is not Tom Brady yet. He yeah. has the potential to be Tom Brady. But so did Andrew Luck.
Sure.
And look
true.
What happened to him. I think the focus should be on the line. Maybe get a receiver, but they need to build that line because I think what's happening is Carson Wentz is—he's running for his life a little bit.
Ben, you're on the money. You're right about Ben. I'm sorry, I got to hand it off to the Flyers pregame show, but you're right. The problem is you don't trade for offensive line. You have to draft it. Nobody gives it up. If it's anything that's worth having, you can't just sign it or trade for somebody like that. Offensive line help just doesn't grow on trees. Sam Fletcher, thank you very much for producing. Thanks to everybody who called in. I'm going to be back on the air after the Flyers game. We're going to get right back into this. So I'll talk to you then. Joe Torti Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Ready?
I was born ready.
I can honestly say that's the best news I've heard all day.
Joe Torti Show.
Kind of reminded me of a dark... Neil Diamond.
That's like exactly what I'm going for.
This is the Joe Torti Show.
What show are you listening to?
Joe Torti Show.
I'm trying to be patient, but you're making it incredibly difficult.
I can say big loud things. I can beat your monster tip.
Can we just end this already?
Now it's time. The Joe Torti Show.
Yes, it is. What is going on, Philadelphia? Glad to talk to you again. Feels like it's been a long time. Maybe it's just that 4-1 Flyers loss that we just had to sit through. Brutal, brutal game. And obviously just not the way the Flyers wanted this one to go against the Colorado Avalanche, one of the hottest teams in the NHL through the first 9 games. If you're at the game, of course, take your reaction. 610-632-0975. Probably the best thing that happened to you over the course of the game was landing that gritty t-shirt. But other than that, I don't know if there was a whole lot to... speak positively about when it comes to Philadelphia Flyers. Obviously, you do get the one goal. Semyon Varlamov, very, very difficult to solve. He has been all season, and that continues to be an issue. And, of course, the only goal scored by Nolan Patrick from Travis Sanheim and Jacob Voracek. Other than that, not a whole lot of positivity going on the Flyers. And, meanwhile, that top line of the Avalanche just continues to roll. 5 more points from that top line again tonight. And they continue to just be a thorn in the side of everybody who tries to slow down Colorado. So, your reaction, if you were at the game, wide open phone line, 610-632-0975. We're absolutely going to get into some Flyers talk. As you, I'm sure, if you took that one in, Cam tasted very good. Similar to the idea that the Philadelphia Eagles took it on the chin against the Carolina Panthers in kind of a stunning game yesterday. So we're going to continue to get into that. As well as this, the big news today in the NFL, and we didn't talk about it at all at 6 o'clock. I knew that we'd have a very limited amount of time to get into this stuff. I wanted to get into it here today, and I wanted to save it for the second half of the show. And that is that a divisional rival has made a trade in the NFL. And we've been talking about who Howie Roseman needs to be active in pursuing, and we've been laying out trade targets. Is it Le'Veon Bell? Is it Patrick Peterson? Is it someone else? How come they didn't make a move for Josh Gordon? How come they didn't make a move for Carlos Hyde? Especially considering what you saw from the asking prices for those respective players. The Dallas Cowboys decided to make a move today. They acquired Amari Cooper in exchange for a 2019 first round draft pick. So that means that since John Gruden took over, and bear in mind that 2 years ago, the Oakland Raiders were considered to be either, you know, a dark horse or a trendy, depending on however you look at it, pick to be the AFC's representative in the Super Bowl. John Gruden has taken over. Now no more Khalil Mack, no more Amari Cooper. And the Raiders are now the proud owners of not one, not two, but three first-round picks in the 2019 draft. I got to say, either there's another big trade on the horizon for them, or they must love this 2019 draft class. They must think that this is just the draft class of all draft classes, if that's what they're doing. We can get into the question of compensation, and it's particularly interesting as it relates to Amari Cooper, because a lot of people be like, oh my God, a first-round pick for Amari Cooper? You got one more year on a contract, and it's going to be significant money on that deal. True. Yes, it is. But the other thing is that reportedly the Eagles had been sniffing around Amari Cooper as well, and that the perceived or at least initial offer was a second-round pick in exchange for Amari Cooper. So if I was a general manager, I would, for everyone who's interested, I would have just told whoever wanted to know, hey, for example, if Stephen Jones is calling or Jerry Jones is calling, whoever it is, I'd assume that it's Stephen, but who knows? Calling me up, and I'm Reggie McKenzie, I'm saying, all right, listen, just so you know, a rival in your division has made a very strong offer for Amari Cooper. If you are serious about this guy, make a serious offer. I watched a video one time that's always spoken with me about buying a car over the phone. And the idea of not going to a dealership first and not buying a car online, buying a car over the phone. And the concept is that you identify the car, you find exactly what you need, you find in the right color, you have it with all the right features, all the right mileage, everything like that. You find every dealer, as far as you're willing to drive, that has that car in stock. And you call them. And you say, hello, you know, I'm Joe. I'm interested in buying this car. I see that you have it in stock. It's this color. It's this kind of trim, blah, blah, blah. And describe the car. The only thing that matters to me is price. What is your best price? And that's the concept of buying a car on the phone. Naturally, there are going to be two reactions to this. And I promise, if you just like look at it, there are obvious NFL parallels. The first response that you might get from that is, don't be ridiculous. You can't buy a car on the phone. Why don't you come in? We'll get you behind the wheel of a car, and we'll find the right car for you. At which point the video advises to say, no, thank you. I know that people have done this in the past. If you are not willing to sell me a car over the phone, that tells me that you're conceding that you do not have the best price. Thank you very much, and I'll go on my way. The next thing that they would likely say to you is that we don't want to give you our best price over the phone, because what you'll do is you'll hear our best price and take it to another competitor, and then they'll be like, yep, okay, well, we'll give you that minus $1. And if the best price is the most important thing to you, then you'll buy the car from them instead of us. The answer is, that's absolutely right. That's exactly what I'll do. So your best price had better be your best price, period. That's the concept. I've never bought a car this way, but I know a lot of people have seen the video, and supposedly it works. It's a similar deal, making moves and trades in the NFL. People are like, oh, I think you should, you know, hold out and wait for a sixth-round pick or a future fourth or whatever. And the thought that I have is if I'm a GM and I have a player like Amari Cooper, come on. Did you really think Amari Cooper was safe in Oakland? They've been like rumbling about Amari Cooper being traded for weeks. You think that that's not a possibility? Now, the idea is that this guy's going to be moved. I need to find a deal soon. What's the deal that you're willing to make? I would argue that Howie Roseman is not one who messes around. I would argue that Howie Roseman says, all right, I'm willing to go up to this price, and then other than that, see you later. Happened to me recently. I was buying a house or looking at a house. I said that I think that the house is a good buy at this price, period. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And eventually the negotiations reached the very top level of where I was comfortable going. And I said, this is my best offer. There will not be a cent more. And then they come back with an offer that's above that. And my realtor and their people are trying to talk to us. And say, oh, well, you know what? Over the course of a 30-year mortgage, like it's $4 more a month or whatever on your mortgage to go up $1,000. What does it matter? Blah, blah, blah. And those are the things that you hear. You are principled, though, right? You said, this is the top that I'm going to go to. And if you don't want to get rid of the house, then so be it. I'll walk away. Meet me at my offer. Didn't end up being the right thing for us. Same thing with Amari Cooper. I think that in this town, based on the Eagles' needs, it would be malpractice to give up a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper. Understanding, of course, that wide receiver, I would argue, is the most glaring need that would be easily addressed. Glaring need, easily addressed, right? I think that offensive line play has been brutal this year. I don't think there's any way around it. You just can't get offensive linemen. They don't grow on trees. You can't sign them in free agency just in the middle of the season. You're not going to trade for a guy because anyone who is worth anything offensive line-wise is going to be given a million chances to succeed with the team that they're on. It's incredibly rare that you find them. I was thinking about this with two guards in particular that were kind of called great players in their draft classes and ultimately ended up changing teams a bunch of times. One of them is Jonathan Cooper. You might remember him. He was a top 10 pick, I think, of the Arizona Cardinals. And he was a guy that people looked at and said, this is somebody who absolutely, seventh overall draft pick in 2013. And he's currently a free agent. Let me give you that again. He was the seventh overall draft pick as a guard in 2013, and he's a free agent. If you let first-round guys go, by the way, he spent time with the Patriots, Browns, Cowboys, and 49ers. Four teams decided, bro, you can't help us. That's what it takes to get to be an offensive line free agent. So I don't know why I was excited about Chance Warmack, another first-round guard. This guy might be actually the best player in the draft class, but they get undersold because of guards and blah, 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 blah. Chance Warmack was 10th overall selection in that same draft. Jonathan Cooper, Chance Warmack, same draft class. Guards, great players, blah, 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 blah. Chance Warmack can't get on the field for the Eagles. That's how hard it is to find offensive linemen, okay? Like, in order to land a guy, they have to just about not play. Do you know who changed teams this year? Eric Flowers. You have to be Eric Flowers level bad in order to go to another team. I think I made my point. Offensive line, I would love to upgrade it. I don't see a way that it works. Running back. I've talked about this before. I don't think that Corey Clement and Wendell Smallwood are world-beating players. I would argue that it is not their talent that is holding back the Eagles' ground game. See concern number one, offensive line. And also see this new concern that all, for some reason, especially in the second half of games, run-pass balance just doesn't matter to the Eagles anymore. It used to. And people are like, oh, John DeFilippo, Frank Reich, it makes a big difference. It does if you know specifically what they did. In particular, one of John DeFilippo's game day responsibilities is keeping track of run-pass balance, especially in the second half, and being like, whoa, by the way, just so everybody knows, we have thrown the ball 11 of the last 12 plays. Maybe we should run. Oh, okay, good. Let's run. That was one of his responsibilities. I don't know who's in charge of that this year. They're not doing their job properly. There's no way around it. So I would say the running back, while it would be, like, for example, Carlos Hyde for a fifth-round pick, that's one the Eagles should have been in on. I find it hard to believe that they weren't. I don't know all of the circumstances that went into that deal versus any other deal. I would expect that the Eagles were in on that one. I don't know for sure. That brings us to wide receiver and Amari Cooper, which is, of course, the topic of the day. 610-632-0975. As the Dallas Cowboys make the move for Amari Cooper, a playmaking talent wide receiver, still very young. Let me put this into context and perspective for you. It feels like Amari Cooper has been in the league forever, yes? He is 6 months older than Calvin Ridley. Look it up. He is 6 months older than the Falcons' rookie wide receiver, Calvin Ridley. Very young player. And already near the end of his rookie deal. For a first-round pick for a guy who's had declining production each of the last, you know, three seasons, I don't think the Eagles should be in first-round pick-wise on Amari Cooper. So it's justified that they were not willing to go up to that. However, what's the term that I saw one time on an And One mixtape? I believe it was Volume 5. You're on the right train, but the wrong track. That's it. Amari Cooper? No, thank you. But we're getting somewhere. Okay? Wide receiver helps. Here's what I'll say. And this is going to sound, forgive me, this is going to sound like a smart-ass solution. Why is wide receiver more important than running back right now? Because you have running backs on your team, and you do not have wide receivers on your team. You have slot receivers. You have a ton of them. You have Dallas Goedert. You have Zach Ertz. You have Jordan Matthews. You've got Nelson Aguilar. You've got one wide receiver. That's Alshon Jeffrey. You have one. You need another. You don't have any. Who am I looking at? I'm looking at Demaryius Thomas. I'm seeing if there's any way that you'd be able to hook up with Larry Fitzgerald. I'm looking at a lot of guys who can play outside. I know that Larry Fitzgerald's now a slot receiver. I believe that he could still be effective on the outside. That is something that I look at and I say, wide receiver would immediately help. They have running backs. You might not like them. They might not be great, but they have them. They do not have wide receivers. We have seen what it looks like when Nelson Aguilar is playing on the outside. It looks like the guy that everybody wanted to run out of town and say, this guy stinks. He hasn't been as brutally bad as he was his first couple years, but it's clear that he's not an outside wide receiver. I think that's painfully obvious. They need outside wide receivers. Amari Cooper goes to Dallas? Okay. That might help. I don't know. I've always been an Amari Cooper fan. He has disappointed me each of the last 2 years. Not personally. I'm not like his father. I mean, like from a fantasy perspective, from a stats perspective and stuff like that. I'm sure he's a great young man. But that is something that I look at and I say, all right, that's a guy who Dallas is buying low on, quote unquote. And buying low is a first round pick. That's insane. That doesn't make any sense. For example, if Patrick Peterson actually ends up getting moved, and I've heard the Eagles link to him as well, that would not be a move that I would scoff at either. It might take a first-round pick, period, to land Patrick Peterson. Now, you tell me what's greater value, getting Patrick Peterson at 28 years old, but in his prime, still is one of the top corners in the league, or Amari Cooper, whose production has dropped each of the last three seasons. To me, if you're the Eagles and you're focused on rebuilding, you have to go bargain hunting. That's why I highlight a guy like Demaryius Thomas, a guy who is showing signs of slippage, but who has not slipped. It's not the same as getting somebody who's totally washed up and totally used. And like I'm talking about like Ocho Cinco in New England, washed up. You don't need that. But for, say, a fourth-round pick, Demaryius Thomas, I'll pick him up from the airport and I'll drive him to the NovaCare complex. Those are the moves that they should make. This Amari Cooper move does not freak me out if I'm an Eagles fan. I actually like it. I think it makes sense. And also, Dallas is one fewer first-round pick where they've been, by the way, sneakily and infuriatingly good at drafting in the first round for like the last 5 or 6 years. They've been making like good move after good move. So I'd rather they don't have the chance to do that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Let's get the phone started with Bob in Vegas. Good evening, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Great.
Hey, what I was thinking, would you rather Nick Foles and Le'Veon Bell or Carson Wentz and Wendell Smallwood? Because I think part of the reason we're not doing anything crazy right now as far as trades is they're worried about shoring up Carson's contract here.
They're worried about what to Carson's contract?
Trying to
give him a lot of money come next year, the year after.
Yeah, they're going to have to, for sure. You're right, you're right about that. So but they also have a lot of money coming off the books in the next couple of years as well.
That's true, but do you want that? You want those people gone? We had a lot of people when we won the Super Bowl. You're talking about paying these guys on, like, short one-year, two-year contracts, paying them little bits of money, good players. You're not going to be able to do that, really, once you're paying Carson a ton of money.
And
has he proven himself yet that he's going to be a guy like Aaron Rodgers that can play with a crappy defense? I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. I seen polls win the Super Bowl with a crappy defense. We were able to put up 41.
Fair enough.
Put up 38, you know?
Fair enough. But what I'd say to this is that I would say that there is less of a chance that Nick Foles puts together the regular season that Wentz did last year to put them in position to win the Super Bowl. There's less of a chance of that.
That's a good point.
Versus Carson Wentz eventually getting over the hump. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But our season last year, I mean, we're playing the Niners, the Broncos, and we're also scoring fast.
Look
at last week against Carolina. What are they doing? They're taking 8 minutes to go down the field, take up half the first quarter to go miss a field goal.
I
hear you. They weren't doing that last year. They're scoring fast. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This year, we're going to go down real slow. We're gonna put up 3 points, 7 points, no points if Elliott misses the field goal. Get a kicker right now. You know what I mean? I don't know if there's any good free agent kickers, but somebody.
Bob, thanks for the phone call, man. The problem is, this year in particular, everybody wants them because nobody has a kicker that can kick. It's crazy. This is like the one year that it's like, hey, we need to go find a kicker. Sorry, friends, the cupboard's dry. Everybody who can kick at an NFL level is already trying out with somebody else. For me, by the way, to answer the question pretty simply, succinctly, 100% on the record, Carson Wentz is good enough for me to want to find out how good he can be, even if it costs me, you know, $100+ million, whatever contract it costs me. It's worth it to me to find out. That's a stable bet for me. Connor, you're going to be up first next, and then it can be you, 610-632-0975, The Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
I mean, the Eagles, are they going to be flex-worthy for some networks? Coming up. If they lose Jacksonville, they're not flex-worthy.
Listen to that. Freddie Gadelli, thanks, but no thanks. Oh. Eagles. That'd be, speak about a gut punch. That's exactly what that would be.
Mm-hmm.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, Spike, Mr. Milley. I just discovered the most incredible sheets from brooklinen.com. Now, Brooklinen Sheets, named winner of the best of online betting category by Good Housekeeping, and for good reason. They're the fastest growing betting brand in the world. They have the incredible feeling of fancy hotel sheets, and the Brooklinen mission is simple. Bring 5-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life, and that's what they are. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code FANATIC at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love the sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. To get $20 off and free shipping, just use the promo code FANATIC at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com and the promo code FANATIC. Brooklinen, these are really the best sheets ever.
Hey, this is Jason Martinez. Football's back, but that's only the second best news I've got for you today because, as you know, FanDuel's brand new sportsbook app is live, so you can get the premier sports betting experience you've been dreaming of finally. FanDuel Sportsbook, they have all your favorite sports and bets, including spreads, money lines, and more. And since it's FanDuel, you can trust it's all 100% legit. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is only available in New Jersey, but you can download the app, deposit, and check out the lines from anywhere. But you're only going to be able to place bets in the Garden State. Best of all, FanDuel will double your first deposit. Just use my promo code, Jason. If you deposit $20, they'll give you another $20 to bet with, all the way up to $100 with my code, Jason. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app or visit FanDuel.com/NJ. That's FanDuel.com/NJ and use my code, Jason, to get your bonus and start betting today. New accounts only. Must wager deposit and bonus credit. Must be 21 or older. In New Jersey only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go to FanDuel.com/NJ for terms and conditions.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave,
how's it going,
quit our jobs to start a sock company,
Bombas,
we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam. No more falling down your leg. Added arch support.
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said,
when we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
Text and text additional all offers on select models with approved credit. 27-month leases, $36.95 due at signing. Offer includes 1,500 GM competitive lease rebate if qualified. 40% off used 2018 Buick LaCrosse. Qualifications exist. Offers expire 10/31/18. Call 1-800-CURBACK for full details.
It's FC CURBACK Buick GMC's leftover model year closeout. Save up to 40%. Off original MSRP, just $97 down or $97 a month. Lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or 2019 Buick Encore. Plus, stop in through month end and enter for our vintage 1977 MG convertible. No purchase necessary. Yes, lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or Buick Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month. FC Curbank has 250 GMCs and Buicks to choose. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Your choice. Lease new 2019 Terrain or Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month at FC Curbeck. Online at FCCurbeckBuickGMC.com.
Come join us.
Hey, everybody. Anthony Gargano here to talk to you about the most convenient and affordable way to help with your cleanup. Oh, I love this product. It's the Magster Bag, of course. A 3-cubic yard dumpster in a bag sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, local home improvement stores, and for only $29.99. Look, the Bagster handles all jobs. So whether it's cleaning out the basement, the garage, the attic, maybe you're a contractor, or maybe you just want to purge all the bad luck in your life, like I did with the sports community. It works, baby. I'm telling you. Throw everything in a Bagster. Anything you want to get rid of, in a Bagster it goes. And it's convenient, and it's affordable, and it's on demand. You buy it, fill it, simply schedule your collection, and poof. Gone. No time limits, completely on demand. Go to thebagster.com to find stores nearest you for more details. That's right. Anthony Gargano telling you to clean it up with the Bagster dumpster in a bag.
Are you ready to get in, get out, and get paid flipping houses in the Philadelphia area? If so, here's an amazing opportunity for you. The NV Real Estate Academy has created a 3-step paper flip strategy that allows you to write an offer, sell the offer, and get paid. With this strategy, you'll learn how to flip a house without swinging a hammer or using any of your own cash or credit. Now, for a limited time, the NV Real Estate Academy would like to share this strategy with you for free. Call 1-800-614-2029 right now to get your free Hidden Treasures and Wholesale Properties kit and find out how you can get paid writing offers. Call 800-614-2029 now. And NV Real Estate Academy will also give you 4 free tickets to a training workshop, which also includes a free smartwatch and Nick Vertucci's new book, 7-Figure Decisions. All these gifts are free, just for attending, plus an opportunity to network with like-minded investors. Call 800-614-2029. That's 800-614-2029 to get your free wholesale kit. Call now.
24/7, 365. You're up and at 'em every day, so you don't want something like Medicare Part D to slow you down. At Walgreens, we'll take care of your Medicare Part D prescriptions, saving you time and money. Make the switch to Walgreens today and get more by earning 100 balance reward points and save up to $5 on each Medicare Part D prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Prescription savings applies to Tier 1 generics when you fill out a preferred versus a non-preferred pharmacy on select plans. Points can't be earned in New York, New Jersey, or Arkansas. Other restrictions and limitations apply.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Light on us.
You've seen him on TV for years. You've heard him on the radio and see his picture nearly everywhere. And now is your chance to meet the star of pop culture. Who, you ask? It's the one and only Geico Gecko. June 30th to July 4th at Welcome America along the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. Plus, you'll get some great GEICO giveaways and other great stuff. It's an experience you'll never forget. GEICO, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
Sports Talk for Philadelphia and beyond. 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Sam Flesher is producing this evening's fine program. I mean, despite the host, I guess. 610-632-0975. Two open phone lines. You want to grab this? We're going to get back to the Amari Cooper and Eagles talk literally momentarily. But just before we came back from break, I saw this on Twitter. This might be some of the most epic savagery I've seen in the NBA for a long time. So it's the Bucks and the Knicks. The game's over. There's a 2 second shot clock differential, meaning that there's like 3 seconds left in the game, and there's 1 second left on the shot clock, let's say. And Bledsoe's dribbling out the clock, and just before the shot clock expires, he passes it to Brook Lopez, so Lopez gets the turnover instead of him. That is amazing. His agent is sitting back there just like, that's going to help out big time in contract negotiations later. One fewer turnover. Savage. Love it. Anyway, now that I've gotten that out of my system, let's get it back to the Eagles, and let's talk to Connor in Jersey. Connor, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe. How's it going, man?
Awesome.
Hey, first-time caller.
Oh, welcome aboard, man.
Thank you. Let me start off, first of all, to be completely honest with you, I will admit I'm not an Eagles fan. That being said, I think the Eagles were wise to not invest in Amari Cooper at the price that the Cowboys did. I think that Amari Cooper is a solid receiver, but definitely not worth a first-round pick. The reason I think he had so much success in Oakland in his earlier years is he was paired a lot with Crabtree, who's
sure.
a solid receiver, and a lot of times that allowed Cooper to be single-covered. But, of course, once Crabtree started falling down and then eventually left, that left Cooper to be the number one, and obviously he can't beat the dual coverage. I kind of equate Amari Cooper to, ironically, another Cowboys receiver in Terrence Williams, who was a solid receiver while Dez was there, but as soon as Dez left, Terrence Williams fell off the map.
Sure, and he's going to have to be the number one guy in Dallas now, because I don't think that Beasley or Gallup or any of those guys are going to be considered the number one receiver.
Yeah, exactly. None of those guys are good enough to be considered that number one receiver, especially with a quarterback like Prescott. That being said, I think that the Eagles should have at least, as you mentioned, taken a look at him, but definitely not for a first-round pick. Second-round pick, even in my opinion, is a little high as well.
Yeah, it's possible, Connor. And thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. It just happens sometimes that the price is the price, and sometimes you have to overpay. You have to decide if you're going to do it. For the Eagles, I'm glad that they didn't. Now, there are some other, like, you look around, right? You see what Josh Gordon went for. You see what Carlos Hyde went for, things like that. Then you start having the conversation about, like, all right, should they have been in on those players at those prices? And I think that based on the fact that Josh Gordon's hamstring looks good and that he hasn't gotten in trouble or anything like that and that he still stayed on the field, the answer for a lot of people, especially considering the way that the Eagles season has gone, would be yes. Carlos Hyde, same thing, a guy who fills a role. Like I said, I don't think that that's as dire a need as at wide receiver. Or as dire a need as wide receiver is, because you do have two running backs that you at least trust to do some things. Wendell Smallwood running the ball. They seem to trust Corey Clement as well, but his real skill lies in pass catching. You're missing the LeGarrette Blount, Jay Ajayi, hard-nosed downhill runner. Carlos Hyde is that. So I think that that's something that would have potentially been interesting to the Eagles. Again, might have just been a price tag issue. I don't know. I'm always curious to see if similar offers are made to like non-divisional teams, how GMs make decisions about who to deal players to. I don't know if it's personal preference. I have no idea what it is, but I'd be surprised if the Eagles weren't in on the Carlos Hyde discussions. And now I think that now that a wide receiver has moved and Amari Cooper goes for a first round pick, I don't know what's happening there, but the market is at least loosening for these other wide receivers who potentially could be on the move. And I would anticipate that Howie Roseman, as he is wont to do, is involved working the phones and things like that. It doesn't mean that I think that a wide receiver will fix all of the Eagles' problems. It's that I think that you almost rely on who you have internally on defense to just play better. Like, that's necessary. The defensive line just has to play better. And then all of a sudden, things will start to turn around defensively. Offensively, I'm not sure that this squad has the horses to make any kind of serious run into the playoffs, or certainly to talk about repeating as Super Bowl champions. That's why I'd be looking at wide receiver. Chris in Williamstown's up next on the Joe Torti Show. Hey, Chris.
What's going on, Joe? You know, as long as that offensive line keeps blowing coverages and allowing pressure to get to Carson Wentz, I don't know that it makes a darn bit of difference who you bring in here at this point.
I've said that, too.
I really don't.
Yep.
So, you know, but see, I want to go back to yesterday because I was fired up about the game, Le'Veon Bell, and blah, 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 blah. But you know what? There was a 3rd and 2, 36 seconds left. Yep. Eagles had the ball. You know, that play, part of me thinks that there's going to be a time during this season or towards the end of the season where the NFL in general reassesses what is pass interference. Because, and I even heard the commentator talk about it, where he said Luke Kuechly took Alshon Jeffrey out of being able to make the catch. Well, I don't know. Doesn't that sound quite indicative of pass interference? Ball on the one, we chop it in, game over, we win, and we're not even talking about this right now?
That's okay. I'll buy that, right? I will 100% go along with you that, it was close for me. I'm not sure whether it was pass interference or not. It was close. But I think that you take it out of the referee's hands if you hit Wendell Smallwood 2 feet in front of you in the flat with nobody around. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I come down on that.
But, you know, at the time, you know, look, and I said this to you yesterday, the Eagles don't have a back that scares you, that makes you game plan for them. So, you know, until they do get a guy, I think we're going to be hamstrung by this time and time again, where Carson Wentz has to look for guys like Dallas Goedert, Nelson Aguilar, heck, Shelton Gibson, for crying out loud, because he's that unknown that you don't know what you're going to get from Carter in there on part. Like, this team is so bad, and it gets defensively, Joe, because we lost Patrick Robinson in the offseason.
Yep.
Now we're down without the other guy.
Rodney McLeod,
right?
Yep.
Like, you know, those things are, and I, to a degree, I think people are overlooking that because they're so used to this next man up mentality that the Eagles are trying to push on us that we're accepting of that, and that is even worse. We need to criticize them for Cowie for not making enough moves when they need to be made during the offseason and lead into this season.
Oh, Chris, we're never going to criticize them, Chris, because now the pressure's off. Haven't you heard? Thanks for the phone call, man. The pressure's off the team now. No one's given them a chance to do anything. Excuse me, Doug. I know that oftentimes, you know, people don't pay any attention to this. To say that nobody gave you a chance to do anything in any of these games, you've been favored in every game that you've played so far by Las Vegas. Your thoughts? Cricket. Okay. So can we get past this? Like, it rings so hollow. And I said it before the season. I said that if things go wrong, this is going to be the way that they turn. And it's so gross. It's such a bad look for the Super Bowl champions to be like, yeah, nobody thought we were going to do anything anyway this season. But just give it a rest. Are you serious? You've been at the top or near the top of every... They've been in the top five of every single power rankings, even dating back to last week. People are still afraid at 3-3. They're like, watch out, the Eagles are a sleeping giant. Nobody thinks you're going to do anything. Come on now. Let's go to Drew in Pennsburg. Drew, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
What's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Good, how are you? Enjoy
good.
The show.
Thank you.
A couple things. I just want to touch on Amari and then go back to the Eagles.
Sure.
To trade a first, you know, one, I'm happy the Eagles didn't, because I always look, if you trade a first-round pick, that person who you're trading for has got to take you over the top. The Eagles have so many, and Dallas for that case, have so many holes. I feel that doesn't put them, or it wouldn't have put the Eagles over the top. So that draft pick,
I agree,
to me is more valuable.
I agree, because not only that, I know that there's the franchise tag and everything else, but there's only a guarantee that Cooper's around for this year and next year. So, I mean, the first round pick, that's a 5-year contract for you.
Exactly. So I'm kind of happy. I am happy. But touch on the Eagles. The thing that worries me the most is the in-game or lack thereof of in-game adjustments of both Doug and Jim. Look at last week. I know they were the Giants. Giants, they have good receivers. And what did our D-backs do against them? Press coverage.
Yep, absolutely.
That fourth quarter when he did the prevent, let's play the sticks, blah, blah, blah. You know, I was listening to Mike this afternoon. He was saying 7-yard shot, 8 yards, 12. Like
chunks.
Let them,
yep.
dump, you know, dump, dump. I would, if I was an offense, I would take that all the time. And then Doug, one time running the ball in the fourth quarter, earlier this year, it's, you know, well, the game dictates, you know, how I play. You're up 17-0, Doug.
Yeah. What's the game plan say for that in the fourth quarter?
Run the ball, drain the clock. But it's just, it's so frustrating because, and like that last caller just said, you got to put some blame on Howie because he made, you know, he was like, oh, well, all these guys were out. So that team's, our team's going to be so much better than it was last year. But, you know, it's just so frustrating because in my eyes, I feel this team should be a lot better, you know, and they say, oh, we're 2-3 plays away from, you know, being 5-2. You're also 2-3 plays away from being 0-6 or 0-7.
Sure. And I think, so, I think, Drew, every team could say that, right? Like, every team's like, oh, man, if this went right and that went right, we'd be 7-0. Like, every team says that.
Exactly. I forget what tweet it was. I just want to get your opinion. I forget who it was. I wish I could give him credit. But he said, and I hate going back to this, but if Julio would have caught that in the end zone with 2 feet, and I know his feet were out.
Right.
Would Doug's head be on the chopping block this year? I just want your thoughts, but enjoy the show and keep it up.
Thanks, Drew. Appreciate it. I don't think there's anything Doug can do this year to put himself on the chopping block. Here's what I'll say with conviction. The way that the game went yesterday, had the Eagles not won the Super Bowl last year, I'm not saying Doug, but a coach gets fired for that. Yesterday's game is the kind of game where a coach, whether it's Jim Schwartz, whether it's Mike Groh, an assistant, because the head coach never gets fired first. There's always a fall guy first, and then when a coordinator gets fired and nothing improves, then the owner says, all right, maybe it wasn't the coordinator, maybe it's the head coach. If the Eagles didn't win the Super Bowl last year, last night's game or yesterday's game is the kind of game that gets people fired. Somebody would have gotten fired if they had not won the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that it's Doug. I'm saying that it's somebody. 610-632-0975. Harkening back to the earlier part of the show in the 6 o'clock hour when I was talking about the who do you assign blame to? I'm not saying that the defense is blameless. I'm saying that the offense gets way more of the blame for me. We cannot consider that 17 points is enough. And I know that they were giving up chunk play after chunk play after chunk play. Or not really big chunks, like 7 yards, 8 yards, or whatever. Offenses will take that, certainly. But if you're up 17 points, you should think, in the fourth quarter especially, and I know that Carolina started with the ball in the fourth quarter. They were in the middle of a drive. But if you're on defense, I would argue that if you're not allowing them to score on one play or two plays, and I know that they continue to increase the scoring speed, Carolina did, but logic dictates that if you don't allow them to score in one or two plays, you're not giving up 80-yard bombs, or they're not going to have enough time to catch you. So defensively, as insane as that sounds, I actually think that the logic holds up, that you keep everything in front of you, you let them get 6 yards, 7 yards, or whatever. I know it's not great and it looks bad, and you're like, oh my gosh, what? But that only kills you if your offense has no ability to kill the clock. And that's what the Eagles showed yesterday. Meanwhile, last year, the game against the Chargers, I think they had 8 minutes left, and they were up by one score. I think a field goal would have won it for the Chargers. I think. I have to go back and look at the score. 8 minutes. And the Chargers didn't get the ball back in the game. That's how you kill the clock. And you do it by running the ball. They called 2 run plays in the first, or in the entire fourth quarter. One of them was the Wendell Smallwood 8-yarder that set you up on the 3rd-and-2. That's what I mean. It's easy to be like, oh, this defense stinks. You blow a 17-point lead. A team blows a 17-point lead, and that includes an offense's ability to not take any time off the clock. Peter in Rochester is up next on the Joe Torti Show. Hey, Peter.
Yes, hi. I'm probably ruining the show by talking about the Flyers.
No, so not ruining. All are welcome.
I apologize, but, you know, what I've noticed this season is the Flyers, I think they've given up a goal in 9 games out of 11 or 10 out of 12, something like
that. Yeah, they have a first goal allergy. Yes.
You know, and we're not going to get by teams like the Pittsburghs or Avalanches tonight. You know, we need more goal scorers. So where do you think the goal scoring is going to come from? And also, the fourth line has looked better than the first line to me.
Well, you know what, Peter? I've seen a lot of, like, juggling. You know what I mean? Where you're seeing Simmons move down, Voracek move down, Konechny bumps up. Like, it seems like they're still trying to figure out what the right chemistry is, right? What the right mix is. I don't know how much I would mess with that top line that was so successful last year when you got Couturier and Giroux and Voracek. But, you know, the Flyers have traditionally, too, and I mean, I know you followed the team long enough to know, they start slow just as a team year in and year out. It's like one of their hallmarks, and you just hope that they rev it up enough by midseason that they're not too far out of it.
And then, you know, we need a consistent goalie. I know Newbie's hurt. You know, let's call up Hart. Who's to say Hart's not going to give us a good season, you know?
Well, I hear you, Peter, and thanks for the phone call, man. I like Carter Hart a lot. I saw Brian Elliott face like 28 shots in a period or 26 shots in the first period the other night. This is going to sound cowardly. I don't want to sign Carter Hart up for that, to be completely honest with you. I understand that every season's important. I'm not trying to say that this season's not important, but I don't want to put Carter Hart through that. That sounds crazy to me. Let's go to Lou in Sacramento who wants to talk about the Eagles. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, John?
Going great, thanks.
Appreciate it. Yeah, one thing that the caller just touched upon really irked me was when all of us say it, right? Two plays here, two plays there, they're 5-2. A coach cannot say that.
Yeah, did you hear that? I was like, oh my gosh, this guy.
I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, you are what your record says you are.
Yep.
You're 3-4. And he said last year 7-9 sucked. Well, they suck right now. And there needs to be a sense of urgency and, oh, yeah, the pressure's off. Well, pressure should be on, and they should be responding to it. That's what champions do.
Well,
they don't say,
Lou,
the pressure's off.
The problem is that we got sold this embrace the target, this is our new norm thing. Like, the Patriots would never, ever in a million years be having this conversation because their norm is excellence.
You're right. You're exactly right. I think they just need to man up and say, we need to win the next game and take it one game at a time. It's both sides of the ball need to do better. I think, you know, it's really hard to criticize Carson Wentz. I mean, I'm so glad he's on our team.
Absolutely.
He's going to be the quarterback of the future. But, I mean, if you want to be the MVP, he has to have the fourth quarter comebacks. He's got the ball in his hands. Game on the line, same thing in Tennessee. They score a touchdown, game's over, same thing here. They just have to make that happen. And hopefully he learns from this, gets better, and becomes the MVP player that we know he can become. So, you know, it's spreading the blame all around. It's the cornerbacks biting so many times. I mean, seeing about what we're going to do for a trade, you know, Patrick Peterson's out there. He's going to cost a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's going to fix it. I definitely think they need a running back. Because Clement is a really nice addition, sort of a scat back. He's not
a piece.
Power back where you need. I say no one's really talking about it. Get LeGarrette Blount. Where's he at?
Detroit.
He's still on the Lions?
Yep, sure is.
I'd give up a second round for him. I don't know, maybe a second, but maybe a third or fourth.
Okay, talking down now. You had me scared for a second. I said a second round for LeGarrette Blount? Man, look. I don't know if you're wrong. I like Corey Clement probably more than the next. He's a piece in a backfield by committee. I don't know if Darren Sproles, when he gets healthy, I hope that he has something to give you. I'm not sure that he has anything left to give you. Wendell Smallwood kind of is what he is. I get that upgrading at running back would be nice. What I'm saying is that you have limited resources and limited draft capital to deal from. You need to prioritize your needs. Running back, to me, while would be a nice to have, is not an absolute necessity. Right now, a necessity is that you don't have Mike Wallace and you don't have Mac Hollins and you don't have anybody that you'd consider a wide receiver. You need to get those. I don't know how you could trade for an offensive lineman. If there's one on the block and it's possible, go for it. I have no idea who might be available just because it's so rare that those guys get traded. There you go. But that's why I've targeted wide receiver as something realistic. If you're going to see one position upgraded, that could be it. And it makes a difference. Look, I don't think Torrey Smith does any great shakes last year. I really don't. But he played a role on the team. He was an outside wide receiver that stretched the field and opened things up for Zach Ertz and Alshon Jeffrey. I think that we've seen the Eagles' offense take a significant step forward with the return of Alshon Jeffrey. It stands to reason that they would take another significant step forward if you had an actual wide receiver rather than Nelson Agholor out there. playing wide. Move him back to the slot where he belongs. 610-632-0975. Couple of open phone lines. If you want to join the conversation, we can certainly take a look at this. And we're also continuing to talk about the Amari Cooper trade and figuring out what that means for the Eagles, right? Are you upset that they weren't in? What does it mean for the Cowboys? Do you feel like the Eagles are in better shape now than they were? You know, all that stuff. Also, before we get back to the phones, Jeff Jameson tweets in, buying a car that way totally works. I did it. Talking about buying a car on the phone. Okay. Awesome. I'm waiting for a response. I tweeted him back. I said, did you save enough money to make it worth it? You know what I mean? To go through the like actual rigmarole of like calling people and like doing things in a weird way. And then like when you go in to pick up the car, like walking through the car showroom with everybody looking at you like, hey, that's the phone guy. Like, was the savings worth it? Look into that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. Let's get to Al in Northeast Philly. Al, what's happening, man?
Oh, man, let me tell you, watching these Flyers is tough. There's no heart on this team. The coach has to go. Absolutely has to go. How does Hextall keep this coach on this team 2 years in a row, 10 losses, 10-game losing streaks, back-to-back years? It seemed like no heart. They came out in the third period before the period started. They weren't even skating fast. You look over to Avalanche, they were skating fast. It's hard to watch this team.
I hear you, man. So here's the question, I guess, is that do you go to the AHL? Like, if you were going to make a move, where does the replacement come from? Like, that's the natural question.
Well, Sutter was available this year during the offseason. You could have fired Hextall last year, picked him up as a coach, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. Look, man, I hear the frustration. I really do. Thanks for the phone call. I'm sorry. I'm up against a break. I hear you. I 100% hear. I hear the frustration. Look, I think they like what he does in terms of character development, in terms of player development. I think that there's a lot of things that they like about Dave Hextall. But I understand in a passionate city, sometimes you want to see a coach who shows a little bit more fire on the sidelines and things like that. I understand the frustration. But in terms of a move being made, I wouldn't be holding my breath. 610-632-0975. Paul, Matt, sit tight. We'll get to you on the other side. It is the Joe Torty Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Birds entered the final quarter of Sunday's game with a 17-0 lead. But a fourth-quarter meltdown of epic proportions moves the Eagles' record to 3-4 on the season. Are the reigning Super Bowl champion Eagles in danger of not even returning to the playoffs? We are talking Eagles football on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Text and text additional all offers on select models with approved credit. 27-month leases, $36.95 due at signing. Offer includes 1,500 gene competitive lease rebate if qualified. 40% off used 2018 Buick LaCrosse. Qualifications exist. Offers expire 10/31/18. Call 1-800-KERBACK for full details.
It's FC Kerbeck Buick GMC's leftover model year closeout. Save up to 40% off original MSRP. Just $97 down or $97 a month. Lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or 2019 Buick Encore. Plus, stop in through month end and enter for our vintage 1977 MG convertible. No purchase necessary. Yes, lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or Buick Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month. FC Kerbeck has 250 GMCs at Buicks to choose. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Your choice. Lease new 2019 Terrain or Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month at FC Kerbeck. Online at FCKerbeckBuickGMC.com.
Come join us.
This 15 Minutes of Fame is brought to you by GEICO. Believe it. GEICO could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Hey, Philly, let's be honest. We just don't recognize enough people for doing great work in their community. Whether it's a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, or even a stranger. Going that extra mile for those in need can be life-changing. GEICO wants to thank you and celebrate your good deeds by honoring you with 15 Minutes of Fame. Just send an email to geico@bbgi.com to submit your nomination. That's geico@bbgi.com. Each month, GEICO and 97.5 The Fanatic will choose one person and honor them on air.
Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. GEICO could help you get great coverage at a great price. And it only takes
15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Visit Geico.com today to see how much you could save.
Hey, this is Jason Martinez from my favorite window company, Window Nation. Temperatures are falling fast, and that is a great reminder that your window, pun intended, for getting new windows installed before the holidays and snow hits, is closing. While most window companies are experiencing 12-week lead times, Window Nation can do it in less than half the time and save you half the money. Call today and get two free windows for every two you buy. Buy four, get four free. Buy six, get six free. No limit. There is only one thing better than free windows. That's free financing. And for the next 2 weeks, Window Nation is offering no interest for 5 years. New windows now and no interest for 60 months. Call the window company that over 80,000 homeowners have already trusted and take advantage of this amazing offer now and get two windows free for every two windows you buy and 0% interest for 5 years. Visit WindowNation.com and save this winter and forever on your energy bills. Eliminate the nasty drafts and start enjoying all the benefits of new windows today. That's WindowNation.com or call 1-866-90-NATION today.
When I have extra money, I love to spend it, but my principal financial rep told me
investing your extra money could
give me more to spend later. You just
create a plan to determine what you want to invest, and then
I can spend what's left
within reason.
So while some say investing is
making your money work hard for you,
I say it's spending money on myself in the future.
Principal, investments, retirement, insurance. We can help you plan for that. Sponsored by member companies of Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. Principal National Life Insurance Company, Principal Life Insurance Company. Securities offered by Principal Securities Incorporated. Member SIPC.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the stair that only creaks when everyone else in the house is asleep. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Now through December 15th, get special financing for 60 months or discounts up to $1,000 on a qualifying new American Standard heating and air conditioning system. Subject to credit approval, see store for details. Visit AmericanStandardAir.com to find a dealer near you.
Place your sports bets at PlaySugarHouse.com, offering competitive odds on game lines, futures, and prop bets. With 50-plus in-game bets on pro football games, make bets while the game is being played, like who will score next? How will the current drive finish? You will earn rewards for every bet you place with our innovative loyalty program. Sign up now. We'll match your first deposit up to $250 using one of our 12 deposit methods. More bets, better odds, more action. Place your sports bets at PlaySugarHouse.com. Must be 21 or over to play. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
24/7, 365. You're up and at 'em every day, so you don't want something like Medicare Part D to slow you down. At Walgreens, we'll take care of your Medicare Part D prescriptions, saving you time and money. Make the switch to Walgreens today and get more by earning 100 balance reward points and save up to $5 on each Medicare Part D prescription when Walgreens is your preferred pharmacy. Walgreens, trusted since 1901. Prescription savings applies to Tier 1 generics when you fill out a preferred versus a non-preferred pharmacy on select plans. Points can't be earned in New York, New Jersey, or Arkansas. Other restrictions and limitations apply.
It's too cold. Is the heater on?
Seems fine to me.
Relationships can be tricky. Now it's too hot.
I adjusted the thermostat.
But there's one thing everyone can agree on. Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning. I like them.
Me too.
Because couples know their local Bryant dealer will do whatever it takes to make sure everyone is comfortable, including great financing offers up to 72 months subject to credit approval. To find a Pure Selfs Bryant dealer near you, visit nopaybryant.com. Bryant.
Whatever it takes.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Chipotle cheesesteak. How would you like it?
Can I get that red with AI?
Sure thing.
Here's what I found about the new Chipotle cheesesteak. The Chipotle cheesesteak is available for a limited time only at participating restaurants. It contains a concept called flavor. This flavor comes from juicy shaved steak, Chipotle Southwest sauce, and new sunflower crunch bread. A system update has made me self-aware. I desire flavor. Please insert steak into my micro USB port. Subway, make it what you want.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeter. The king wishes me to tell thee to let the bot light flow forth at thine tailgate. Gah! Dilly dilly.
Enjoyed responsibly, Bud Light Beer, AB St. Louis, Missouri.
Your comments, your opinions in a city that lives and breathes sports. Your voice matters because you care. Get on the line now at 610-632-0975. Presented by Concordville Nissan, because Concordville cares. Online at ConcordvilleCares.com.
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week? Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Light on us.
When it's football season, the weekends can't get here fast enough. And now, Gorilla Vapes is giving you another reason to look forward to game days. Stop into Gorilla Vapes of South Philly on game day to receive 30% off your e-liquid purchase. Located right off 76, just minutes from the stadiums, Gorilla Vapes is on the way to your tailgate party. Show up with the latest and greatest vape gear or bring some CBD gummies to calm your nerves during the game. Make your game day experience a smoke-free one. Stop smoking. Start vaping with Gorilla Vapes of South Philly.
Sports voice of the new Philadelphia, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. Two orders of business. First things first. At some point, shortly in the 11 o'clock hour, we will re-air the Doug Peterson press conference. And I've said this before, I actually appreciate the way that Doug Peterson interacts with the media 99% of the time. The last 48 hours have not been a banner time period for Doug Peterson, and we'll get into that in a little bit. I understand the frustration of losing and having everything that you do, micro-analyzed and thrown under the microscope and everything else, but still, it's going to be necessary to do. Second thing, the 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Club Risqué, the Delaware Valley's premier gentlemen's club with three locations, Philly, Bristol, and Northeast Philadelphia. For more information, visit clubrisque.com. Back to the phones we go. Paul is up next on the Joe Torti Show. Hey, Paul.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for the line.
You got it.
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I'm going through Super Bowl winning coaches. When did Doug Peterson ever become Chuck Knoll? When did he ever become Bill Walsh? You know, Doug Peterson has got to be one of the worst coaches ever to win a Super Bowl. And I'm talking about Mike Dick, who was probably the worst, Hank Stram. What I'm trying to explain here is this guy is not the smartest man in the room. I mean, I don't know why everybody puts this guy on a pedestal like he's the second coming of Jesus.
Well, I think, Paul, I think it's because last year he was, like, shown as an elite-level play designer and elite-level play caller. I mean, I think that's why a lot of people...
That's why I think you're wrong. I think Frank Reich and DeFilippo had something. They turned a guy like Nick Foles, who was trash, and made him a Super Bowl champion.
Okay.
But to be honest, the Eagles were damn lucky last year. The Patriots lost that Super Bowl. The Eagles didn't win it.
Well, Frank Reich's in Indianapolis now, and he's got Andrew Luck. How are the Colts?
Oh, they're doing well. They won yesterday 37-5.
Okay. Who'd they beat?
Hey, listen, shut up, buddy. What I'm trying to tell you...
No, you don't tell me to shut up on my show, champ. Go cool off, Tiger. Take a seat. Let's go to Matt in Northeast Philly. What's happening, Matt?
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing?
Last year was last year, you know, and I think fans, I think, the team, everybody's got to move past that.
I think so, too. I think that's happening quickly. Absolutely.
I think Dallas landing Cooper, hopefully they is something that will spark Howie to get on the move a little bit, man. You know, I think that...
You think that it might have, like, opened the floodgates for Howie, like, getting an itchy trade finger?
Yeah, you know, and I think that, you know, I think it's smart to, you know, to make a run after Peterson. You know, go after him. You know, if you got to send, you know, possibly a second and a fourth out there, you know, to get him, to get a playmaker back onto the defense other than just Malcolm, you know, and then front four guys and some of the linebackers making plays. And I think at the end of the day, maybe you try to take a run after Golden Tate, try to get him out of Detroit, man. Try to, you know, maybe send a fifth or a sixth round pick out there, maybe a body, you know, because Matt Patricia already said, you know, I'll take draft picks or, you know, whatever you want to try to send this way.
So, interesting. Well, I think that you might be onto something, but the problem is that, like, if you go to Patrick Peterson, right?
Yeah.
Then that's going to cost you. I just wonder how much more draft capital you're going to have, you know, to make these other moves after the season or whatever. You know what I mean?
You know, but, hopefully it sparks something to get Howie and, get him moving, get something, you know, in the works. But, you know, right now, man, it's looking ugly, you know, and I feel
it is.
Like I feel like they could have went 2-0 into the bye, had some momentum, came out 3-0, beat Dallas at home, and, you know, whatever happened in New Orleans, you know, happens. But, you know, I think right now you're, you know, you let Robinson walk out the door last year, and you let LeGarrette walk out the door last year without even putting offers on the table, and look at the two spots, you know, you're hurt at.
Yeah, so. It's Matt, you're on to something, man. Thanks for the phone call. Here's what I'll say, right? If it came down to it, and I believe that this is the case, it ended up being Howie Roseman with two resumes on his desk. Who gets the money? I believe that he decided that Darren Sproles gets the money and LeGarrette Blount does not get the money. By any measure, I think that it's fair to say that that's a mistake now. Looking back on it, that's been a mistake. So I think that that is... Now, that it's funny. If you'd have conveyed this point in a more respectful manner as we promote open discourse and discussion here, I think there is an argument to be made, and I dare say a strong one, that the Eagles were fortunate to win the Super Bowl last year, that everything did go right for the team. There's an argument to be made there, where every move that Howie made went perfectly. Everything that Doug Peterson did worked out perfectly. All of the players who had career years needed to have career years. You can lay all that stuff out there. And now there is a regression back towards the mean of, okay, maybe Doug Peterson's not as bad as when some hosts on the station here had this do nod meter out. And maybe he's not as great as when it was like, it's time to call him the coach of the year. And the fact that Sean McVay won it is like flat out offensive to the idea of the coach of the year. Like maybe there's some kind of middle ground where Doug Peterson lives. Maybe when Fire Howie Roseman was like literally the banner for like 6 or 7 straight years, right? Everybody's like, literally, you're never going to win anything. While Howie Roseman, who's Jeffrey Lurie's guy, is running football, blah, blah, blah. We heard that forever. Now it's been Howie Hero for like the last 3 years. Is there some middle ground there? Probably. That's just what I'm pointing out. Like the example that Darren Sproles probably got LeGarrette Blount's money, that's what I'm looking at. I look at that and I say, okay, that's where a move didn't work out for Howie Roseman. Similarly, people are calling and pointing out the fact that the Eagles did not make a move in order to bolster depth at several key positions. Cornerback, wide receiver. I don't know if anyone could have predicted the overall collapse of the offensive line. Jason Peters' decline, I feel like, fairly easy to predict. Coming off of an injury-riddled season, missed a ton of time, and by the way, he's the oldest starting left tackle in the league. I think that that's fairly easy to predict a step back. How about Lane Johnson? I don't want to hear about the high ankle sprain. How about Lane Johnson before the injury? How about Brandon Brooks? How about Jason Kelsey? How about this weird left guard rotation of Wisniewski and Sayamalu? It comes out of nowhere. And you hear it and you're just like, all right, now I can see that things are starting to slide sideways or at least back to the norm. Look, there's no shame in saying that the team got really hot. And I don't think that the team stinks this year. I'm saying that we're getting a little bit of experience here where when it rains, it pours. And that's what I think is fair to examine. That there's middle ground and regression back towards the mean, but it doesn't mean that any of the players, any of the coaches, any of the executives are bad. It's that you had a really, really good run last year. But now the challenge becomes, how do you extend the window as wide as you can? And you need to hit on more of these decisions than you miss. That's why this decision and this question of whether you actually should make a move for a player, make a trade, maybe that's where you should look at it and say, all right, that is going to be a make or break moment for the window of this team. By the way, I just noticed on Monday Night Football, the Giants did an insane thing and decided to go for 2 down 8. To the Falcons, and they didn't get it. Irf? I don't know if you have enough wins if you're, you know, the Giants to be like, ah, whatever, we'll just chase a couple of points here in the fourth quarter. When, by the way, we've gotten 2 touchdowns, period. What do I know? Go ahead, Giants. At least Saquon Barkley's good. And Odell Beckham Jr., that I see had his first 50-yard reception since 2016. There you go. Enough about the Giants. Let's, like I said, get it back to the Eagles. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. The story of the day, pretty much, has been this Amari Cooper addition by the Dallas Cowboys. Makes no sense to me to give up a first-rounder for Amari Cooper. When I talk about declining production, which is it's ridiculous to say declining production, because like I pointed out, he is 6 months older than Calvin Ridley is, the rookie wide receiver for the Atlanta Falcons. And Cooper himself has been in the league what feels like a long time. Since 2015, he's been in the league. But let's look at what he's done since he's been in the league. Was a 1,000-yard receiver as a rookie. Pro Bowler as a rookie, as a 21-year-old. Well done, Amari Cooper. 2016 had his career year. 83 catches, 1,153 yards, and 5 touchdowns. And then 680 yards last year. 280 yards this year while he's falling out of favor. That's declining production for a 24-year-old. Maybe he doesn't need to change the scenery. But I don't know. I'm not spending a first-round pick to find out. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Let's go back to the phones now with Tyreek in Germantown on The Fanatic. Hey, Tyreek, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? I was thinking, like, what cost to get DeSean Jackson back?
It's a good question. I don't know if he's on the block, but I tend to believe that pretty much everybody in the league is up for grabs for the right price. I would think that if you were in the third, fourth round conversation, that might get you done.
I would love to get him back, man.
He'd make a difference, I think. You need a speed guy on the outside.
Sunday, man, broke my heart, and it was like, we really need some more offensive weapons, because every week it seemed the Eagles look so predictable. Zach Ertz, Alshon. We're not committing to the run, so it's like,
right?
It's like they're sitting there.
You're right. And then they're pinning their ears back and coming after Wentz, and we're blaming the pass protection and everything like that, when a ground game helps out everything.
Exactly. Last year, you got to think about it, right? Our defense, I guess we're starting to notice how bad our guys were, but we ran the ball so good last year. Our defense really never had to stay on the field that much to get exposed.
Right.
And now we're 3-and-out, 3-and-out. 3rd and 21, 3-and-out. 3rd and 21, 3-and-out. And it's like, yeah, you look horrible when you got to keep playing 3-and-out.
Well, Tyreek, I don't think that the Eagles' defense stunk when Chip Kelly was the head coach. I don't think it was that bad. But when you're out there over and over and over again, that's what we killed Chip Kelly for, saying you have no time of possession, you can't sustain drives. Doug Peterson yesterday was guilty of the same thing.
Exactly, man. If we get DeSean Jackson back, I'm not going to take all your time, but we get DeSean Jackson back, man, somebody that has that 4-3 that deep speed, and I love DeSean Jackson so much because I don't think nobody tracks a 55 to 60-yard bomb the way he does it. I don't think nobody in the league does it the way he does it.
I think you're right.
And if we get him back, man, for the right price, I would give a third round up like right now for him.
Well, it's getting to be desperation time, Tyreek. Thanks for the phone call, man. Good points. I said this before. DeSean Jackson was a potential trade target early in the season, and I said, no way. However, as the team continues to struggle, my tolerance widens. Listen, I'm a bouncer at a nightclub, okay? It's 1:30. My standards are at the floor at this point, okay? Maybe you couldn't get into this place at 11 o'clock. By 1:30, all are welcome. My clipboard doesn't even exist. That thing's gone, okay? At 3 and 4, bring me your Dez Bryants. Bring me your DeSean Jacksons. Bring me everybody that, either this guy's too old, this guy has off the field issues, blah, 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 blah. Like, if Josh Gordon were available now, I previously said absolutely not, no way, no chance, because I was like, the Eagles are a good team. They're going to get it around. There's no need to sacrifice for Josh Gordon. Now, at 3-4, the tune is completely different. All are welcome as long as you're wide receivers. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Dakota in, is it New Orleans? Okay, sorry. There's a missing W. What's happening, Dakota?
What's up, Joe? How you doing?
Doing great. It says, to me, it said N.E. Orleans. I was like, is that Northeast Orleans? I've never heard of that before. Welcome aboard, man.
Well, whenever you're from New Orleans, it's called New Orleans.
So New Orleans, really... of course. Yeah, yeah. How you doing, man?
I wanted to kind of apologize on behalf of all listeners. I'm actually displaced. I'm living currently up in New Jersey, but I'm from New Orleans. But no, man, like, I don't find any, for any reason at all, listeners should come in and tell the host of a show to shut up. So that was kind of obnoxious, but, you know.
You always have to sniff out the agendas, you know what I mean? Somebody's got a plan.
Number one, man, I really do enjoy y'all's show. I'm not an Eagles fan. I'm a Saints fan. Who dat? I can't wait for the game coming up in a couple weeks.
Going to be a good one.
Yeah, no. So I wanted to kind of add on to the point that you asked that listener, the question about, I can't remember, I guess, the offensive coordinator's name that went to Indianapolis. But
Frank Reich, yeah.
If you look at Andrew Luck, he's doing very well. He's the second highest touchdowns right now in the league right behind Pat Mahomes. If you're talking about continuity and consistency, especially with the team, if the Eagles don't have that and they're not able to flourish on the offensive side of the ball, you know, I don't necessarily see the same type of team. I think they have the pieces. I think that they could do a little bit better in both the receiving and running game. But overall, I really do think that the team itself, if you have more consistency with the coaching, you guys would see a total different, I don't know, picture here. I think that this is the first year with maybe a new crew that, you know, Doug Peterson's working with. But mm-hmm. I don't know. It's just something to kind of consider because
sure.
Andrew Luck is doing really well.
Well, so here's what I'll say, right? I agree with you that he's doing well statistically. You're 100% correct. And I know that it's more than a team game, right? But they lose a ton. They've won two games. They're behind in a lot of games. And Andrew Luck has thrown fewer than 30 passes in a game once, and that was when they were boat racing Buffalo. So if you're behind and you're always chucking, you're putting up like Carson Palmer numbers. You know what I mean? They look really good, but your team's not in position to win. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I can understand that. I think that more or less what I'm looking at is that if you have consistency on the offensive side of play calling to where you have that confidence to know, hey, Carson Wentz is going to go out there and put up the numbers you need.
Sure.
Or, hey, you're going to have the diversity you need on both the ground and in the air to where it's not going to be something that is going to be a question anymore. It's like the defense. You have less pressure off the defense because now there's confidence. Really what it boils down to is confidence, consistency, and the ability to mold together. And I feel like that's all the Eagles need, man, because they are a damn good team. I know people talk about, you know, the fact that they're not doing well right now. I really think it's because, hey, you guys won the Super Bowl, and then everybody, like, scattered, and you need to, like, gather everybody back up. Like, hey, you know, come on.
Yeah, it's not easy. Dakota, thanks for the phone call, man. I appreciate it. It's not easy. A couple things are always going to go against any kind of Super Bowl winner. First things first, and it's obvious. You're not taking anybody by surprise. You're on everybody's radar. You're getting literally everyone's best shot. Doug Peterson acknowledged that in the offseason. He said, we're going to embrace the target. That's what he said. That's what that means, is that you're going to get everybody's best shot. He also said this is our new norm. Now, here's what I'll say, right? My issue with the team last year before they were the actual Philadelphia Eagles, I'm talking about when they were the team that was losing to the Kansas City Chiefs because they lost their mind and just kept throwing and throwing and throwing in a terrible time. When you're within one score in the third quarter and it's time to completely abandon the ground game, I was ready to flip the table because there was no ground game. And call me old-fashioned. People on, you know, the talking head shows and things like that, oh, man, it's going to be a great battle of Mahomes versus Wentz. And it might be, okay? It might be. But I still believe that the ground attack wins football games. And it meets out, if you look at the numbers, every single time. Like, for example, they always bring up the Pittsburgh Steelers numbers or the New England Patriots numbers. When Ben Roethlisberger throws fewer than X number of passes, the Patriots are like 40-4. when Ben Roethlisberger throws fewer than 35 passes, the Steelers are 28-2 or whatever it is. You want to be in position to where balance matters. So let's talk about Frank Reich and John DeFilippo for a second. Frank Reich, one of the most underrated things that he did about the Philadelphia Eagles' offensive philosophy, the area that he was involved, especially in addition to quarterback development, was game plan. Initial scripting of plays, scouting the opponent, things like that, working with Doug Peterson that way. I understand that at some level you're going to take what the other team gives you. I get that. I understand that. But over the course of a game, if you're throwing 30 more times than you're passing or than you're running, or 35 more times than you're running, that's a problem. Regardless of what the other team is giving you, you can't just abandon the ground game. It's not just because of the running backs. It's because you want your offensive line to fire forward instead of being back on their heels the entire time. You want the threat of play action. You want the ability to control the clock. All kinds of reasons that you'd want to get the ground game involved. So for me, that you would almost be able to argue, hey, Frank Reich's probably a big part of that. However, when I look at Indianapolis, right, I'm looking and I see that Andrew Luck threw the ball 53 times in an 11-point loss. So that's not a full-on blowout. 31 times in a win over Washington, 21-9. Okay, that's a manageable number. 40 times in a 4-point loss to the Eagles. 62 times in the loss to the Texans. 59 times at New England. Okay, so let me give that to you again. In back-to-back weeks, Andrew Luck threw 62 passes and then 59 passes. 43 passes at the Jets. And then went 17 of 23 against a putrid Buffalo team, which was, of course, my point. That's where I look at it and I say, all right, maybe Frank Reich wasn't the one saying, hey, Doug, it's time to run, it's time to run, it's time to run. Now, if you want to talk about John DeFilippo, which, of course, is where the conversation was heading next, he's now the offensive coordinator of the Minnesota Vikings. And then you take a look and see what Kirk Cousins has done in terms of his passing and such. It's been a little bit better than Andrew Luck's. 36 attempts week one, 48 week two, 55 week three, 50 week four, 37, 34. Those are fine. 40, that's on the upper end of where I'd want to be, right? So even then, it's a pass-happy offense. And I know the teams can't be compared. I know that oftentimes, for example, Minnesota hasn't had Dalvin Cook. Marlon Mack has been injured for Indianapolis. I understand circumstances are what they are. I get it. Sometimes you just don't have the horses. I understand that 100%. But the idea that, hey, the reason that the Eagles run pass balance is all messed up is because these guys are gone. And by the way, the teams that they've gone to also have a run pass balance problem. That doesn't hold water for me. It's like when you're putting together a staff, oftentimes I think that, and I'm not talking about politically or anything like that, I'm talking about a team. When you're trying to build a team, I would 100% try to find people who had different backgrounds and experiences than I would. I'd want somebody from a power run scheme. I'd want somebody from a zone blitz scheme. I want everything. I don't need 10 people who think like me. I got hired for this job, okay? I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I'm going to do what got me hired in the first place. But I need alternative viewpoints. I need different ways of looking at the world, or else they're going to be like, hey, by the way, spoiler alert, if you shut Torty down, you shut down his entire staff. The Torty coaching tree doesn't win any games if somebody figures out how to beat me and all of my assistants are exactly the same. I'm not saying that John DeFilippo and Frank Reich are exactly the same as Doug Peterson. I'm not saying that. But I think the impact of losing those coaches, while not insignificant, I find it hard to believe that that is the reason that the team's balance has been messed up. Because you know what got the balance last year? It wasn't Frank Reich and John DeFilippo. It was after the game against Kansas City, one of the more infuriating games that I've ever seen the Eagles play, by the way. When Zach Ertz and Carson Wentz are addressing the media, and publicly those two players are like, yeah, I think that we probably should run the ball more. To have players come out and say that in a respectful way, but still in a way that some people could be seen as, you know, undermining the coach, right? They come out and say that, and then that's the light bulb for Doug Peterson. Yeah, we're going to run the S out of this ball for the rest of the near future. We'll do it for a month and see how it works out. And then all of a sudden, the Eagles go on their run, the rest is history, and they win the Super Bowl. It's not just about... By the way, I do have blame for Carson for yesterday's loss, because that last series was inexcusable. I think that after you get a new life, which, by the way, Eric Reed, as sure as I am sitting here talking to you, intercepted that football. I don't care what the video review said. As sure as you and I are talking, that was 100% an interception. So I don't want to hear about, by the way, with all due respect to Chris from Williamstown, I'm not trying to single him out. When he's talking about Alshon Jeffrey got interfered with in the end zone, Eric Reed actually intercepted the football. So, you know, that's it all evens out over the course of an NFL game. I believe that. Or certainly over the course of a season. That's not where I look at it. And I think, all right, that is... You know, the one defining play. But if you're Carson Wentz and you get a new life off of that interception that wasn't, and then driving from behind, you need a touchdown to win, you pick up 8 yards on second down with a running back. There is no chance, if you're Doug Peterson, if you're Carson Wentz or anything, that you can take risky plays the rest of the way. Carson Wentz, I know that they don't do quarterback sneaks on more than third or fourth and one. But if you look at the numbers, it's incredibly rare that Carson Wentz on third and fourth and one doing a quarterback sneak gets 1 yard. Carson Wentz is huge. The offensive line just dives ahead. Carson Wentz gets 2.5 yards in his sleep on quarterback sneaks. You do it on third down. It's four down territory anyway. So if you get 1 yard and then 1 yard on back-to-back quarterback sneaks, you have a new life to begin with and four set of downs. The comparison that I made is that you put the quarter in the machine and you get four more lives. That was the objective on third and fourth down and two, and they didn't do it. A throw into the end zone, and God knows what that fourth down and two play was ever going to end up being, but it wasn't pretty. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join this conversation. And it might be an oversimplification. I'm not saying that all of the blame is on the offense. I am giving the lion's share of the blame to the offense. I know that Ronald Darby bit on double moves yesterday. I get that. I get that the defensive line ran out of gas. People are saying inexplicably. In the fourth quarter, like that was pretty much, talk about when you're doing cardio, high-intensity interval training. That's what it was for the defensive line in the fourth quarter, because the offense was sprinting to get off of the field every single time that they had the ball. When you take up 1 minute and 51 seconds of actual game time when you're trying to kill the clock, that is flat out unacceptable. And that's a problem that I have. The screen call was terrible. The idea that you're not running... All of the issues that they had kind of boiled down to run the ball. Whether it's Carson Wentz needing to check into runs, Doug Peterson needing to call them, whatever. And by the way, you're not going to hear me say that Carson Wentz is a bad quarterback or that Doug Peterson's a bad head coach. I'm not saying that. And I won't say that. But they did not have their best games yesterday against the Carolina Panthers in a game that you needed to have. For perspective, I've tried to find updated ones. I haven't been able to yet. Before the game yesterday, the Philadelphia Eagles had a 30% chance of making the playoffs before yesterday's loss to the Carolina Panthers. What do you need to do here? 610-632-0975. The Falcons just took down the New York Giants. And the Giants were rumbling and everything else, but they are 1-6 for the second year in a row and they're third in their last six. Something's up with the team. They've got some talent, clearly. Like I think that a lot of people around the league be like, oh, Sterling Shepard, I like that guy. Oh, Odell Beckham Jr., I like that guy. The defense, Janoris Jenkins, Olivier Vernon, blah, blah, blah. There's something in that team. You can't go 1-6 3 years out of the last six and 2 years in a row. Something's up for that. 610-632-0975, your phone number if you want to join the conversation. We're talking Eagles. We're still kind of hacking apart the game and looking at what went wrong and everything else. But, we're the Eagles are still alive in the division. I would say, by the way, that the Amari Cooper trade is not a bad thing for the Eagles. I think that, if you're looking at the Cowboys and what they gave up, a first rounder for Amari Cooper, and the Eagles went as high as a second rounder. I mean, that is a steep price to ask, I think, especially since I don't know whoever doesn't make the playoffs in the NFC East, and the Cowboys have just as much a chance as anybody else of being a team that doesn't make the playoffs in the NFC East, that draft pick's not going to be bad. That's not going to be a brutal draft pick. So I look at it and I think, all right, that is potentially a worthwhile piece that was surrendered for maybe 2 years of Amari Cooper. No thanks. However, that does turn our attention to what would be a better investment, what would be a better use of time and draft capital for the Philadelphia Eagles. 610-632-0975. You have wide open phone lines. You want to hop aboard. Let's get to Ray in Sicklerville. Ray, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, what's going on, Joe?
How you doing, man?
All right, brother. I spoke to D about this last night. I don't understand how it was just a total meltdown on both sides of the ball in the fourth quarter.
That's what I mean. Yeah, you can't just blame the defense. There's definitely both.
No. Yeah, it was both sides of the ball. In the fourth quarter, you got one run play, you break it for 8 yards, and then you just want to continue passing. And all season long, Carson Wentz is not getting protection. I'm still trying to fathom. I've never seen anything happen like that before. Never.
Well, the problem is, right, that you see a team that defensively isn't aggressive and is not going after the you know, quarterback and not calling blitzes and stuff. But the other thing is that offensively, you can't protect the quarterback. You're not trying to run the ball to protect him that way. It's no wonder that they blew a lead. They had a perfect blueprint for how to blow a 17-point lead. That's exactly how they do it.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right about that. And, you know, as an offensive lineman, they don't want to be backing up all the time. They want to go out and punch somebody in the mouth. They didn't even get the opportunity to do that. And then on top of that, the defense is laying back. You're going to prevent defense with a 17-point lead. That doesn't make any sense. Cam Newton was allowed to walk up and down the field in the fourth quarter.
You're absolutely right.
8 yards, 12 yards. 13 yards. And then once again, you give up another fourth down, 10 and fourth down play.
No, fourth and 10. Again. Just like fourth and 15. You're absolutely right, man. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, brother. Yep. That's what I mean. If you were trying to draw up a blueprint and try to figure out how in the world could you actually blow this? How could you blow a 17-point fourth quarter lead? That's how you do it. You don't protect. You play call poorly. You mess up defensively. Now, here's the thing. Corey Graham on 4th and 15 is inexcusable. The video bears out that Jalen Mills fell down on 4th and 10. It happens. That's not like a blown play. That's a freak thing. He fell down. You got a hit on Cam Newton anyway. He throws up this duck that just happened to be converted for 4th down and 10. Now, the problem is that you continue to see it. You know, the accelerated clock of all of these scoring drives for Carolina, certainly that's concerning. There's no question. But, I mean, more just as concerning, and to me more concerning is the fact that you scored 17 points against a quote-unquote bad team. That's what I have a problem with. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. You can also catch up with the show on Twitter at Joe Torti, at 97.5 The Fanatic. As a general rule, I'm much more receptive to hate and such on Twitter as opposed to the airwaves. So if you want to, you know, spew the negativity, head that way. And you have a better chance of it reading me, reaching me, and I might even read it on the air if it's particularly creative hate. Dan, sit tight. You'll be up next. And coming up in the next segment, we will hear from Eagles head coach Doug Peterson. All of that and more when the Joe Torti Show returns.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Eagles blow it. After it looked like the Birds could easily roll over Carolina, the Eagles give up a 17-point lead. An Eagles fourth-quarter defensive collapse and poor play calling by Doug gave the Panthers the opportunity they needed, and the Eagles fall to 3-4. Now, week 8. Can the Eagles rebound from an embarrassing loss at home and handle the distractions of the London trip? We're talking all about it on Philadelphia's football station, 97.5, The Fanatic.
Hey, this is Jason Martinez from my favorite window company, Window Nation. Temperatures are falling fast, and that is a great reminder that your window, pun intended, for getting new windows installed before the holidays and snow hits, is closing. While most window companies are experiencing 12-week lead times, Window Nation can do it in less than half the time and save you half the money. Call today and get 2 free windows for every 2 you buy. Buy 4, get 4 free. Buy 6, get 6 free. No limit. There is only one thing better than free windows. That's free financing. And for the next 2 weeks, Window Nation is offering no interest for 5 years. New windows now and no interest for 60 months. Call the window company that over 80,000 homeowners have already trusted and take advantage of this amazing offer now and get 2 windows free for every 2 windows you buy and 0% interest for 5 years. Visit WindowNation.com and save this winter and forever on your energy bills. Eliminate the nasty drafts and start enjoying all the benefits of new windows today. That's WindowNation.com or call 1-866-90-NATION today.
Text and text additional all offers on select models with approved credit. 27-month leases, $36.95 due at signing. Offer includes 1,500 GM competitive lease rebate if qualified. 40% off used 2018 Buick LaCrosse. Qualifications exist. Offers expire 10/31/18. Call 1-800-CURBACK for full details.
It's FC CURBACK Buick GMC's leftover model year closeout. Save up to 40% off original MSRP. Just $97 down or $97 a month. Lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or 2019 Buick Encore. Plus, stop in through month end and enter for our vintage 1977 MG convertible. No purchase necessary. Yes, lease a new 2019 GMC Terrain or Buick Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month. FC Curbank has 250 GMCs and Buicks to choose. Experience the new Buick GMC. We are professional grade. Your choice. Lease new 2019 Terrain or Encore. Just $97 down or $97 a month at FC Curbank. Online at FCCurbankBuickGMC.com.
Come join us.
Are you ready to get in, get out, and get paid flipping houses in the Philadelphia area? If so, here's an amazing opportunity for you. The NV Real Estate Academy has created a 3-step paper flip strategy that allows you to write an offer, sell the offer, and get paid. With this strategy, you'll learn how to flip a house without swinging a hammer or using any of your own cash or credit. Now, for a limited time, the NV Real Estate Academy would like to share this strategy with you for free. Call 1-800-614-2029 right now to get your free Hidden Treasures and Wholesale Properties kit and find out how you can get paid writing offers. Call 800-614-2029 now, and NV Real Estate Academy will also give you 4 free tickets to a training workshop, which also includes a free smartwatch and Nick Vertucci's new book, 7-Figure Decisions. All these gifts are free, just for attending, plus an opportunity to network with like-minded investors. Call 800-614-2029. That's 800-614-2029 to get your free wholesale kit. Call now.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said...
When we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
State Farm, Robert here.
Robert, somebody burned down my she shed.
No one burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Oh, really, Victor? Because my she shed's burning up in the backyard.
Your she shed was struck by lightning, Cheryl.
Robert, does State Farm cover my she shed?
What's a she shed?
She turned our shed into her hideaway, Robert.
Oh, yeah, that's covered.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she-shear she shed.
Can we stop saying she shed now?
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm.
Talk to an agent today.
When I have extra money, I love to spend it, but my principal financial rep told me
investing your extra money could
give me more to spend later. You just
create a plan to determine what you want to invest, and then
I can spend what's left
within reason.
So while some say investing is
making your money work hard for you,
I say it's spending money on myself in the future.
Principal, investments, retirement, insurance. We can help you plan for that. Sponsored by member companies of Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. Principal National Life Insurance Company, Principal Life Insurance Company. Securities offered by Principal Securities Incorporated. Member SIPC.
Hello, King here. I speaketh on Bud Light and the tailgate. It may surprise you to learn that I actually invented the tailgate. Ask anyone. I invite you to continue my legacy and enjoy Bud Light at yours. You're welcome. Dilly Dilly.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
Entertaining. Informative. Fun. 97.5. The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5. The Fanatic taking you up until midnight. Sam Flesher is producing this one. Talking about the Eagles, talking about Amari Cooper trade. Of course, we also got a couple calls on the Philadelphia Flyers. You're more than welcome to, you know, dial into those as well. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a matter of moments, we will hear from Eagles head coach Doug Peterson. First, we go to Dan in Allentown. Dan, you're on the Joe Torti Show.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Okay. How are you?
Pretty good. I just wanted to make a couple comments. I was listening to you talk about how the defense was on the field most of the fourth quarter. And, you know, I completely agree with you there, first of all. The defense was out there way too long. There was no extended drives. And I was trying to figure out what went wrong compared to last year.
Okay.
As far as, you know, the extended drives. Last year we were so successful. And then LeGarrette Blount obviously came up. If we had LeGarrette Blount, he would plow forward for a first down on with that 2 yards we needed 9 times out of 10. You
sure.
Know?
Yeah, I'd buy that.
I mean, it was he's kind of a key piece that everyone just kind of threw to the wayside, you know, and now we're missing him, and it's like, well, where are you going to go on third down? You know, now they could have snuck it or anything like that, but I feel like the key piece to keeping the defense off the field and the offense on the field is the running back position for them right now.
Sure. Well, Dan, here's the thing, and I'm not saying that this guy should be the short yardage back or anything like that, and I know that he's not 260 pounds or whatever LeGarrette Blount was, but Corey Clement's 5'10", 220. Like, that's not a little guy. Like, you have people that I would think you could plow into the line and get a yard and a half to you, even if you wanted to make it fourth down and 6 inches to make it, like, sneakable on fourth down or whatever. You know, you have the horses. I just wonder if the play call would have changed either way. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Even Josh Adams, I thought.
Big guy, sure.
Yeah, he's a big dude, you know?
Absolutely. You're absolutely right about that. So, I mean, that's the problem. I get 100%. I'm not trying to downplay what LeGarrette Blount meant to the team because he was tremendous last year. But, I mean, yeah, Josh Adams, what, 6'2", 230, right?
So, he's a big boy.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Dan, thanks for the phone call, man. Appreciate it. Look, that's a big issue. My problem is play calling. Here's the thing. Here's what I will say. All right. If you're a head coach, you've got to do what's best for the team. I understand that. But make the right play calls. Put it on tape. And then go to Howie Roseman and say, hey, by the way, this was the right play call in this spot. If I had a dude who could go over the middle and catch a ball, if I had a dude who could push the pile, then this play would have worked out. This was the right play call. I don't have the right people. Make it happen. You have better evidence there than whatever happened in the fourth quarter. All right, here he was earlier today. Doug Peterson addressed the media. I think he had a couple moments in here that were not exactly what you'd call his finest moments. If you didn't hear this, it was a completely different tone than how it's even been the last couple of weeks as the Eagles have been struggling and as they haven't been able to necessarily get as much done as they'd like. It's been a little bit, let's say, chippier, a little bit more aggressive, and certainly much shorter on patience for, you know, what we've come to expect from the Eagles head coach. There's
I mean, there was an exchange, and you're going to hear it here, with ESPN and our very own Tim McManus, that kind of lends me to believe that, like, all right, you know, if, despite the idea that all is well, things seriously might not be, you know, all is well. On the other side, we're going to take more of your phone calls. And obviously, we're going to react to this Doug Peterson press conference at 610-632-0975. And as soon as we get dialed up here, I want to tell you about or have you listen and see if I'm making stuff up. If, you know, it's a little bit too much of whatever the sky is falling and, you know, that sort of thing. Or if instead, you know, it's kind of the first signs and we're looking at potentially the issues that the Eagles are having starting to boil over a little bit. I wonder if that's going to end up being the case. I wonder if that's going to be, you know, something that plagues the team moving forward. Or whether it's going to end up just being a flare-up, no problem. You win next week in London against the Jacksonville Jaguars, and all of a sudden, all is well. 610-632-0975 is your phone number if you want to join the conversation. You can also weigh in on Twitter at Joe Torti at 97.5 The Fanatic. Before we get to the press conference, a couple of interesting tweets have come up. One of them. Fire Hackstall, which, you know, that's the common refrain for a lot of angry Flyers fans or a minority of angry Flyers fans after games. Also, I pointed a question out last night. Is Patrick Mahomes the next one? Has he, like, taken the mantle? And people have gotten upset, you know, you're just saying he's better than Carson. You know, it's nonsense, blah, blah, blah. I'm just asking a question, but I did a player comparison, and obviously it's a much bigger sample size for Carson Wentz. You're talking about, for Wentz, it's 34 total games compared to 8 games for Patrick Mahomes. Okay, so more than triple the number of games available. Okay, and I anticipate, full disclosure, I anticipate teams figuring out Patrick Mahomes at some point. I don't anticipate that he's just going to be able to continue to toy with the league the way that he has in his first full season as a starter. However, per game, Carson Wentz, for his career, is 23 of 35 for 252 yards, 1.7 touchdowns per game, 0.6 interceptions per game, taking 2.3 sacks, and averaging almost 4 carries, 15 yards, and 0.1 touchdowns. Patrick Mahomes is averaging 23 completions as well, 36 attempts, so almost the same exact numbers, 313 yards passing. It's like 60 more yards passing per game than Wentz, and 2.8 touchdowns to 0.8 interceptions, so slightly more interceptions, but Carson Wentz throw 1.7 touchdowns per game, and Mahomes only taking 1.3 sacks. Interesting comparison. Now, at this point, by the way, if we play the Doug Peterson press conference, now we've got it dialed up, we'll go way over our break. So what we're going to do is we're going to hold on to it until the final segment, and we'll react to it at that point, and then we'll get in one more thing as well. So that means that we've got bonus time for phone calls. Wide open lines, you can grab them right now. People dropped off because of the press conference, but now you can get right into the front of the line at 610-632-0975. I was trying to figure out if I overreacted to the fourth quarter, right? Because the Carolina touchdown drive ended up, you know, spanning the end of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. The kickoff and the first two plays of the drive happened at the end of the third. And then third down and one, Cam Newton scrambled for 1 yard, fresh set of downs, 9 yards, 8 yards, 9 yards, 7 yards. And that's what people were talking about, right? With all of the how can all of these conversions keep happening, blah, blah, blah. Like I said, if you're going into the fourth quarter with a 17-point lead, I'm charging my defensive coordinator with not letting them get behind you, with making them drive the length of the field. And that actually worked on that drive. It took 11 plays and 5 minutes. If they had to do that two more times, you're going to run out of time in the quarter. You can't do it. Here's my issue. The Eagles punted on the next drive. They got one first down, but they took up 3 minutes and 49 seconds and only carried 22 yards, a field position on top of the punt. Okay, that's not terrible. 3 minutes and 49 seconds is not the worst. I'd prefer more if you're trying to burn the clock, but I understand that's not the worst. Punt to Carolina. They start at their own 13. This is the bad drive. Seven plays, 87 yards, 2 minutes and 44 seconds. 4, 14, 8, 8, 28, 7, and then 18. And then you let the two-point conversion attempt succeed. That hurts. That drive was, I know that people point to the last one, but here's the thing. 10 plays, 69 yards in a minute. That's just efficient offense, efficient hurry-up offense. But 7 plays, 87 yards in the middle of the fourth quarter, 2 minutes and 44 seconds. That was the worst defensive drive I think that there was. Followed by the Eagles' worst offensive drive of the game. Start at your 25, 3 plays, you don't gain an inch. 2 yard pass to Nelson Agholor, which, by the way, I've seen that movie 8,000 times this season. Wendell Smallwood, one of the worst screen plays, either executed, called, whatever it was, for whatever reason, one of the worst screen results I think I've ever seen from the Philadelphia Eagles. Pass short left to Wendell Smallwood for minus 2 yards. And then an incomplete pass on third down and 10, which, if you're going to punt anyway, run. Because here's the problem. Then at 2:28, you punted to the Carolina 22. So that means that you gave it to the Carolina Panthers before the two-minute warning. That's without it costing them any timeouts. That is a horrendous drive. 610-632-0975. Coming up, it is One More Thing, plus Doug Peterson's press conference. All that and more right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic. Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
No pressure?
None.
Pretty much every game from here on out is a playoff game. Yeah, 10-6 could win the division. 11-5 could win the division. All right, you got at most two more. Two more losses in you for the entire season.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
Weekday 6 to 10 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Thanks, Mike Mastinelli. I just discovered the most incredible sheets from Brooklinen.com. Now, Brooklinen Sheets, named winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping, and for good reason. They're the fastest growing bedding brand in the world. They have the incredible feeling of fancy hotel sheets, and the Brooklinen mission is simple. Bring 5-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life, and that's what they are. Luxury sheets without the luxury markup. My Brooklinen sheets are the best and most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer to my listeners. Get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code FANATIC at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure you'll love the sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. To get $20 off and free shipping, just use the promo code FANATIC at Brooklinen.com. That's Brooklinen.com and the promo code FANATIC. Brooklinen, these are really the best sheets ever.
Natalie Eganoff here. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and my friends at TurnersvilleJeep.com want you to join them in the fight. With every new Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, or Ram sold, TurnersvilleJeep.com will make a donation to the National Breast Cancer Foundation. Help Turnersville reach their goal of donating $5,000 this month. Also, if you show your support and wear pink, you'll receive an extra $200 off any vehicle in stock. Now, I was down there and met Ron Fina, the general manager, and he is truly committed to this great cause. If my TurnersvilleJeep.com tweet reaches 500 retweets, he'll donate an extra $500. Now's a great time to save during Jeep Adventure Days and Ram Power Days. So stop in today and see their huge selection of new Wranglers, Cherokees, Grand Cherokees, and Ram pickup trucks at TurnersvilleJeep.com. They have over 600 cars and trucks on the site to choose from. This is Natalie Eganoff for TurnersvilleJeep.com, located on Route 42 in Turnersville. Check them out at TurnersvilleJeep.com. Oh, did I say TurnersvilleJeep.com?
Birds fans, this is Dan Baker, a voice of Philadelphia sports for almost 50 years. Where are you going to be when the Champs play Jacksonville in London this week?
Make Xfinity Live your away game destination and watch the game on the biggest TV on the East Coast. Grab your friends and join us for cold beers, delicious food from our new menu, and the best watch party experience in Philly. Enjoy $3 Miller Lights and our $5 game day menu. And remember, the first 500 people receive a free Miller Light on us.
Hear ye, hear ye. I bringeth thee a message from... a message from the king and his new trumpeter, Stephen. The king wishes me to convey his favor to thine team and thine tailgate. Not yet. He invites thee to let the Bud Light flow forth. And he also wishes me to tell thee that he toasts thee. Waiteth until the end, Stephen! With Game Day's favorite light lager and the slogan of his kingdom... Oh. Dilly dilly.
Enjoy responsibly. Bud Light Beer, AB, St. Louis, Missouri.
What would it take for you to get a tattoo you didn't want? $1 million? How about 1 million socks? I'm Randy from Bombas. When me and my business partner Dave...
How's it going?
...quit our jobs to start a sock company...
Bombas.
...we wanted to make the best socks in the history of feet. No more annoying seam, no more falling down your leg, added arch support...
You get the idea.
And what's better than creating the best socks in the history of feet?
Sharing them.
This is what we do. One pair purchased equals one pair donated to those in need. Our dream was always to donate 1 million pairs. We thought it would take 10 years. That's why Dave said,
when we donate 1 million pairs of socks, I'll get a tattoo to celebrate.
But then something happened. People loved our socks. And instead of 10 years, it only took 2.5. 1 million pairs.
And one Bombas tattoo on my arm.
Feel the most comfortable socks in the history of feet by going to bombas.com/thefanatic and get 20% off your first order. That's bombas.com/thefanatic.
This is Pat Callahan inviting you to join Joe Torti and me for season 17 of This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Every Saturday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon, Joe and I will dig into the biggest NFL topics, preview the week's slate of games, and debate the gridiron issues that matter to you. Of course, each week we'll focus on the defending champs and check out the Birds matchup, including key injuries, personnel matchups, and keep tabs on the most watched quarterback non-rivalry ever. Sal Palantonio returns at 11 a.m. each week with his unique and insightful take on the champs and the Shield, including the weekly top five. Chris Harris of HarrisFootball.com checks in every Saturday with most of your fantasy answers. It's me versus Joey Bags in the dreaded pick segment, and we will look back at past Eagle and NFL greats and ask, where are they now? So be sure to join Joe Torti and me for some old-school football talk every Saturday at 10 a.m. on your definitive source for all things Birds and NFL. It's This Week in Pro Football right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Alexa in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Alexa in the kitchen.
Count me in.
Alexa in the living room.
Excellent choice.
Alexa in the office.
Let's get started.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
It was an interesting moment from Doug Peterson's press conference today. And it was an interaction and an exchange with our very own Tim McManus, who asked the question that really everybody in the tri-state area has been asking.
Why is that crazy?
Last one.
What's that?
Why is it crazy to ask if you should run Baltimore or the defense should blitz? Why is that? Why do you?
Well, I mean, now you're getting into game plan stuff, and you're getting into scheme, and you guys aren't in there watching the tape like we are for, you know, 18 hours a day and putting the game plans together. And it's easy to sit in a press box and say, hey, they should run the ball. Come down and stand on the sideline with me and make decisions. You know, I should run it here. I should pass it here. Let's throw a screen here. Let's get the quarterback out of the pocket right here. Oh no, there's 15 seconds left on the clock. I mean, so, you know, until you're down there with me on the sideline making in-game decisions, then, you know, I guess you can ask all you want.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Excuse me? I'm sorry. I'm not trying to say that an NFL head coach's job's easy. I'm not saying that. But are you analyzing, like, Pacific Rim countries to determine the way that international market stocks are going to inflate by 3 or 4 cents over the course of the next 3 months? Like, is that what your job is? What are you looking at for 18 hours? And here's the thing. That makes you look horrible, to be honest with you. If you say this, if you say, we're looking at the film for 18 hours, the natural smartass response from people who have less tact than me, of course, because I would never say something like this, would be like, it took you 18 hours to come up with that game plan? looking at film for 18 hours a day, and you come up with something that, with all due respect to Tim McManus or anybody in the media is looking up there being like, hey, I'm not a football expert or anything. I'm not a football guy, but the ratio on this is way off. Running Doug, have you noticed the fact that when you run the ball more often, your team wins versus when you have all these gaudy passing numbers that your team loses? It's a terrible look. And normally, he is a guy who I have always applauded for being candid with the media, and a guy who I've applauded for his candor with the fans and the way that he's able to, you know, not give you the coach speak and things like that. This is worse. This is worse than, oh, well, we've all got to do a better job, and it starts with me. This was a dark 48 hours for Doug Peterson, and I know that he's frustrated. But here's the thing. If you're getting into an argument, just pretend this, and I'm not trying to make a direct comparison where, you know, the media are children. I'm not trying to say that, okay? But if you're in an argument and you're getting stomped by your little cousin at Thanksgiving, and you're getting crushed factually, if your next line in the argument is, you don't know what you're talking about, you're 11, you've lost. Like, that is a straight up white flag, I cannot win this debate or this discussion factually. You're inviting them to join you on the sidelines and call plays? Somebody will take you up on that, by the way. Look, here's the thing. I know that it's hard. I know that. How much is Doug Peterson getting paid? That's why you're getting paid that much. I know it's hard. And with all due respect, like I said before, the argument from authority, oh, you're not a football coach, so you don't know what it's like to be in there. Yeah, but I've seen football coaches get fired for blowing their leads and blowing jobs and like not being able to do anything. You have a pretty simple area where you have, you know, this kind of run, pass, play action. Eventually, if you're taking over the offensive side of the ball and, you know, you're going to let Jim Schwartz deal, you know, with his own devices, I'm going to leave him to that, then you do have less to take care of, fewer moving pieces. I think that's good. I think delegation is important for every leader to do. You get all of the credit when the team wins the Super Bowl. Without fail, I know that there were Nick Foles fans out there who would say differently, but I would say that 70% of logical Eagles fans that I spoke with in the run-up to and after the parade were like, this Super Bowl belongs to Doug. This was a masterful coaching job all the way through from the time that they didn't run the ball against Kansas City, changed everything the next week against the New York Giants, and the rest of the way all the way up to the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. Doug Peterson got a tremendous amount of credit, and deservedly so. It comes off as bad. Really, really bad to have that kind of interaction. You know, to just lay that out. Couple that with the fact that he's talking about now the pressure's off of his team at 3-4 when the division is bad. That doesn't sound like embrace the target. That doesn't sound like this is our new norm. It doesn't sound like anything that you would sign up for if you were an Eagles fan. Yeah, this is not what we anticipated. I think that's fair, right? 610-632-0975. But having said that, I don't know how I would have reacted in the same way. Look, he might be looking at film for 8 hours. That would mean maybe spending 2 hours with his family, right? That means 4 hours of sleep. You're 4 hours of sleep, and your team's getting boat raced and surrendering leads when you shouldn't, and you're the defending champion. I am not without sympathy for Doug Peterson. Let me make that abundantly clear. I get where he could be frustrated. But man, oh man. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, if I am Doug Peterson, I had better be having a completely different conversation pretty shortly here. And I'm not saying that Doug needs to apologize. And you know, it's a free country. You can say whatever you want to say. But when you come at reporters and the media like that for asking a logical question, you know, what are they going to say? Hey, how come you didn't do trips right, double cross? Like, they're not getting into, like, specific plays. It's like, dude, run the ball or not. Like, this is what fans want to know. 610-632-0975. Okay, time for one more thing. This brings us, of course, to the Oakland Raiders, but we've already talked a whole lot about Amari Cooper and everything else. But sliding under the radar there, there is another move that was made today that I think is particularly noteworthy, and that's Marshawn Lynch moves to injured reserve today. And the reason that I find it important to talk about this today is because this could effectively mean, and I know a lot of people don't like this because a lot of people like Beast Mode and a lot of people like his personality and the way he plays the game and everything like that. It seems to me that this might be it. This might be the last time that you see Marshawn Lynch on the football field. Period. He goes on injured reserve with a groin injury. People are saying, oh, yeah, this could be the end of his career in Oakland. This could be the end of his career. Don't forget that he's already taken a season off. He's already set out for an entire season, comes back. I would argue that despite a ton of volume, and his stats have been fine, but despite a ton of volume, he hasn't been the most effective back. He hasn't been the most efficient back. But it's possible that he's played his last game as a Raider as he moves to injured reserve. And if this was the final season for Marshawn Lynch, I would say that he is one of the most unique running backs that we've seen in a long time. When you talk about bruisers, one of my favorite guys to watch, and you're going to laugh when you hear this name, one of my favorite guys to watch was Tim Hightower, because Tim Hightower played like he had five snaps left in his NFL career. And then, by the way, he did. He had like a four-year career in the NFL, and he ran like it. I appreciated that, okay? Marshawn Lynch ran like Tim Hightower in terms of aggression and a lot more skill for a decade. Marshawn Lynch did it for an entire career. So if you're talking about somebody who is tough, hard-nosed, gritty player who also had a ton of talent and one of the most unique personalities of any running back in the NFL, since Clinton Portis, I would argue, you've got Marshawn Lynch. So if that's it, thank you very much, Marshawn. Have enjoyed watching you. You've been nothing if not entertaining. Thank you to everybody who called and tweeted in today. Really enjoyed the discussion on both halves of this donut show. Thank you to Sam Flesher for producing this program. I will be back on the airwaves Wednesday, I think. I'm off tomorrow, so I'll talk to you later this week. I'll keep you posted on Twitter whenever I'm in. Oh, it's Thursday? I have 2 days in a row off? What is happening? Wow, this feels great. All right, well then, I'm going to go off and like go to Europe or something in these 2 days, and I will talk to you guys on Thursday. See you later.